Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Linda Amerson from Texas, the owner of LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic. I am giving a shout out to Carrie,
the Chief of College of New Orleans, Louisiana. I just want to give a shout out to the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hyde and his new team this morning.
Yay! All right! So in the morning, what do you do each day?
I listen to the Hair Radio Show, baby.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
I'm a
meditate for practice. Channel 9 News tell me I'm moving backwards. 8 blacks left, death is around the corner. 7 misleading statements about my persona. 6 headlights waving in my direction. 5-0 asking me what's in my possession. Yeah, I keep running, jumping to aqua, there's fire hydrants and hazardous smoke alarms on the back of us. For mama, don't cry for me, ride for me, drive for me, live for me, breathe for me, sing for me, honestly guiding me. I can be more than I gotta be, stole from me, lies to me, nation hypocrisy, gold on me, driving me wicked, my spirit inspired me like yeah. Open correctional gates in high deserts, yeah. Open our mind as we cast away oppression, yeah. Open the streets and watch our beliefs. And when they carve my name inside the concrete, I pray it forever.
Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose.
It's 2 Thumbs Up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everybody, this is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's 2 Thumbs Up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Hi, my name is Ajak Deng. I am 27 years old, and I've been modeling for 8 years.
Hi, my name is Nya Kim Garowich. I am 25 years old, and I've been modeling for 2 years.
Hi, my name is Leomi Anderson. I'm 24 years old, and I've been modeling for nearly 11 years now.
Hi, my name is Kadia Diaz. I'm 21 years old, and I've been modeling for 2.5 years now.
This one girl asked me one time, she's like, is it true that when black people take a shower, or like the dark black people take a shower, the water don't touch your skin? Like you don't feel the wet of the water in my skin, on your skin? And I was just like, huh? This doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you get in the water, you're going to get wet, despite of your black, yellow, purple.
One of the instances is where I was waiting at a casting for 3 hours. They'd seen my face. I'd been sitting there amongst the other girls. And when I finally got into the casting, they say to me, sorry, we're not looking for any African people. And I'm just like, well, that's 3 hours of my life I can't get back because of you, kind of thing. And I was just literally like to them, you know, if you're going to be racist, let me just tell you one thing. My heritage is Jamaican, but we're all from Africa. And they're just like, ah! I'm just like, really? Like, it's the ignorance is just like so shocking.
I had so many crazy experience with hair and makeup.
Being backstage and not having someone to do my hair right or do my makeup right makes me feel like I'm not represented. Like, no one just really cares about my skin color or my hair type.
Before I even had cut my hair like this, I used to have an afro. You know, you could do a lot with an afro. You know, you could either braid it or straighten it or curly it, but it was like, we don't know what to do with your hair. The texture is too nappy.
I always have to travel with a brush and gel, because when I'm backstage, sometimes I have to do my hair or do my makeup. Well, it's not that they don't provide someone to do it, but they won't do it the way I like it, or it won't be, you know, what I want.
But I had an experience in Milan where I went through hell, basically. They glued in a whole head of extensions, they ripped them out, they blow-dried my hair, they straightened it, they put hairspray, and then literally he was just about to put, like, a really water-based gel on my hair, and I just turned around and I said, if you put this in my hair, it's going to make my hair go frizzy. And he literally just started going off, like calling me like the B word, telling me, who do I think I am? Who do I think I'm talking to? He can end my career in 2 minutes. And this is when I was 17 years old, and it was in a room full of people. I felt so embarrassed, and I was literally in tears. And that was when I really realized that, you know, being a black model is a completely different experience.
I was at this campaign, and backstage, they didn't know how to do my hair. So they felt like, basically they had a white hairstylist, and this guy didn't know how to do braids, and he just like parted my hair and did whatever he wanted with it, and I wasn't happy with it.
Backstage, yes, absolutely, because not everybody has the correct products to use on dark skin, or maybe they do have it, but they don't think of the whole undertone thing, because, you know, I have a red undertone, even though I'm darker than most.
I feel like often black models have to redo their makeup, and I remember all, like, the black models coming to me because I was the only one with my makeup bag, like, Leomi, I need some powder, the stuff that they're putting on me, they're trying to say it's translucent, but it's white, like, help me out here. So, yeah, it's an instance that I've I've come across numerous amounts of time.
I feel like it's unfair because white models don't have to do it. I've been in a lot of backstage, and it's only the black models that do that.
Most of the time, if a makeup artist doesn't know what they're doing with my skin, I just kind of want to be the teacher that they never had. Bring out my own, my little, you know, makeup bag and just say, you know what, as you can see, this it's the same, but this has more red in it, and this is just gray, so it's going to make my skin gray. But if you want, you can mix that with this, and then we'll get the perfect color of mine. And it's like, oh, most of the time they listen, most of the time they want to fight you on it.
When I would go to a show or photo shoot, you know, and then I would sit at a makeup artist's chair, you know, and expecting them to, like, put on a foundation, highlight, you know, concealer, you know, all the types of, all the stuff you do for makeup. And it's like, as they never have any products for me. You know, I was like, we don't know what to do. And it was like, oh, this is my favorite line. You don't need foundation. Your skin is so flawless. I'm like, no, you don't have the foundation. It's not that my skin is flawless.
In New York, a lot of makeup artists know how to do black skin. So we never really have that problem in New York. In London, they kind of are very well advanced out there. They know how to do it. It's when you get to Milan and Paris or like Spain that they're just like, oh my God, I finally got a dark skin girl. So here's my darkest makeup brand I've never used. You're like, that's not right.
Why is it that if a white model says, ah, you're hurting me, it's like, oh, sorry, babe. But me, it's like, oh, your grandma must have, yes, 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 yes. I'm just like, no. My grandma has a nice soft touch. Lies, because everyone knows that your grandma hurts your head, but she gets the job done, unlike them. So it's fine, you know?
This guy goes, do you taste like chocolate if I lick you? I was like, what? He's like, you look like you taste like dark chocolate. So I just want to see, can I lick your hand? I was like, no, you're not going to do that. And he's like, why not? I just want to taste it. I was like, lick your hand and you tell me what that tastes like. And he did. And he's like, it tastes like skin. I'm like, that's what mine tastes like. Have a good day.
The thing that really drives me is the fact as well that I don't know what the future holds. Every single day, every single season, we're seeing so much progression for young black women within all industries. So I'm like, if I give up now, who knows where I could be? I could be like the Oprah Winfrey of the fashion industry.
Brands are just trying to make black girls this trend, and it's not a trend. It's diversity, it's representation, it's everything. And it's sad, it's very sad.
I want to leave a good mark in the industry. I want to do something that's going to change a lot of people's lives and that's going to help the world, humanity. So the future is bright. The future is promising for us. And I think we all just have to stick together and work together because it's the only way we can make it further.
I want to tell you all about HealingGo.com. They make all-natural hair products with a focus on quality. You got to try their scalp stimulator that has 13 oils to promote hair growth. Go to HealingGo.com to see their complete line and listen out for their interview right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. That's HealingGo.com, HealingGo.com.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Gary Hines. Now, my very, very special guest, we go back a very, very long way right here on our broadcast and really beyond. Let me just bring her to the line. Without further ado, it is, again, my great honor to welcome now, let me just say, she is a hair industry luminary, a true superstar in every sense of the word, a publisher. She's the publisher of the San Diego Monthly Newspaper out there on the West Coast, and I call her Royal. You guys know she's the daughter of Dr. Willie Morrow, a famed dietary 400 years of Dr. Combe, and so much more. And I'm honored to say our friend right here to the Hair Radio Morning Show, the one and only Cheryl. Good morning, Cheryl.
Hey, Carrie. Well, good morning.
It is still morning on your side.
It is morning out here. Yeah, Cheryl is on with us all the way from sunny San Diego area out there in California. So we're so happy to have you with us, Cheryl. It means
a
lot.
I'm happy to be here.
It's been,
oh, my God.
It's been a long time. It's been a very, very long time since we've had you on the show.
Yeah. It's almost like coming home, you know?
Yeah, it is. Well, you know what? You are part of this. You've been a part of this for me. I mean, I'm going to just put it out there, decades at this point. I mean, it's been a long time, Cheryl. And you have helped to educate. I'm going to kill a little background thing there. You've helped to educate fans of the show for a very long time. We have aired your amazing interviews, the commentary that you have shared with your unique perspective. And we've done live events together. We've done radio stuff together. We just really, you're one of the biggest folks out there to me in this business who's really, you've got, you know exactly what's going on. You know where the where the bodies are buried in this business. So, yes, you really do. So, first of all, Cheryl, let me just bring everybody up to speed. What are you working on in addition to all these amazing projects? What do you have going on these days? Tell all the listeners.
I think with all of the conversations that I've had probably in the last year, Carrie, and of course, you know, we've had our industry, hair, beauty, and skin, and, you know, ethnic beauty has taken a hard hit. So I think one of the most important projects to me is to tell my story of just how I grew up in black hair care at the beginning of the boom as the billion-dollar economic industrial revolution of what we call the curl, even though we were coming out of pressing curls and going into the afro. So that's one of the things I'm working on. It's a documentary of my life and how I grew up in black hair care. And some of people, it's funny, you know, because people would always say, you know, we had all this wealth and black dynasties and of generating black wealth. But where did the kids go? You know, where did the money go? Where did that whole wealth gap? Where is it? And so I felt, you know, a sense of responsibility to at least tell it from my perspective. So that it's almost like that all that wealth kind of like evaporated. And so,
well, that's what I'm going to ask you. Yeah, where did the money go? That's the question, the million-dollar question here, literally.
Yeah.
We're talking about generations of hair industry superstar folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, so
it's a complex conversation because you can't talk about where the wealth went until you talk about there's a conversation that I do address called gerontocracy. And gerontocracy is when the passing doesn't happen. And your predecessors stay too long. And they stay too long because they're not adapting. And we always talk about how companies should adapt to you adapt inside before you see signs of the changing of the trend or changing of the times. And so there's a thing that and when you get into the 70s and 80s, most of those companies were ran by men, black men. And so black men tend to look at their children differently.
Watch it, Cheryl Morrow. No, geez.
Black women, you know, no, they do. And it's, let's just say, you know, you have your John Johnson, you have your George Johnson, you have your Mr. Dudleys, you have your Mr. Morrows, you have your Mr. Bronners, you have the World of Curls and the Donnies and the Leisure Curls. You had these men. And so they did have children, mm-hmm. but
You know, the limelight is addictive. The limelight is addictive, and they just don't not they don't see the continuity of their legacies through their children. It sounds like a good thing. They know they should do it, but they don't do it. You know, and so
there's
a cultural thing. And then when you have the Eunice Johnsons and the Celia DeVore, and you have Dr. Katie Wickhams, and you just have this, when you have women, they tend to let go a little easier. So those legacies can continue. But there is just like a real cultural thing. And then I get into it, into the documentary, because it's real talk. Mm. You know, this is not just us wanting to pass wealth. Not us wanting to just close wealth gaps. You can't close wealth gaps if you don't have the continuity of the predecessor into the succession plan, which is your children.
I agree.
You can't close a gap, because the gap keeps getting wider, because white America keeps passing it on and locking it within their culture. We don't. Mm. It's a cultural thing.
We don't
get
really
into that.
It's a different thing. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't get it.
Well, let me ask you about that a little bit, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because, you know, I mean, on a simplistic term, in a very simple way, I talk to a lot of hairstylists, you know, throughout the years, and I always ask them about, you know, they open up the shops, and I say, well, what about your kids, you know, or they helping you or working at the shops and, you know, and this and that. And they cannot get those kids to help them at the shops. The kids generally take it for granted. You know, they've got all the money that comes from, the parents' hard work at these salons and barbershops. And they just go on and living a very, great life from the benefits of the financial aspect. But they do nothing to support the parents' hard work, and they truly are not going to be heading up any kind of, taking on a business. That's just not even on the table. And I always wondered about that, and I kind of think about it for my own company. So this is something that is very, very important, and it's a big disparity between the African-American community with regards to succession, I call it, and the people who are outside of our community. So this is really something that is very interesting to me. And I know you're on a different level with it, but it just I don't understand. Is it just something that the kids don't, you know, should we expect them to want to, you know, pass, you know, to continue on in their with their parents' legacy? You know,
well,
is this something?
Think about it, Gary. I didn't want to be a barber. My father started out as a barber.
Right.
The key here is that Mr. Marl created a company. Now, think about it. Most hairs, you know, because I'm a hairstylist. I get it.
Yes.
The problem is that their hairstyling portion of their business is not a company. So there is no room to do other things besides maybe promotions or marketing of the parents' actual skill sets, which is doing hair. Where else is there other means of doing something else if the child or if the offspring doesn't want to do hair? And just think of this analogy, and I always tell them when I get this question, you know, would I really want to inherit a cotton picking business? You know, black people pick cotton, would I want to pass that on? You know, so the physical portions of, you know, businesses are not companies. Businesses is one thing, and a company is another. So in a company is encased, which I always tell people, I'm an intrapreneur. I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't need to make anything. I don't need to discover anything. I don't need to do any of that. What I need to do is to come in with something already formed and take it to the next level. So because my father had a company, right, he had a company which had, you know, roots, and then it springed out with branches and leaves. So there was so many branches to him because they had a company. And just take the
the Johnson daughter, you know, with Ebony and Jet, because Ebony and Jet
right.
and was really actually a beauty business. They were Duke and Ravine, the relaxer, and Duke was a men's line. There were so many other things to do within Johnson Publishing. So it was an actual company.
Right.
So that tends to
exactly.
allow the successor to kind of fit in and take the reins. But if you are just a business, which hair salons are, barber, you tend to
have
tied to the parent's physical skills. And yeah, you really have a very difficult time
wow.
with that, with the succession plan.
Well, now
yeah.
you are
yeah.
talking about in this. Yes, in your upcoming documentary, we're talking about some of the biggest names in the hair industry. And so I'm just, one of the things that jumps out at me, have you heard any feedback from some of those, you know, some of those families, some of those super well-known hair industry superstar families? Have
yeah,
you gotten any feedback
they're
yet? What are their thoughts?
Well, the problem.
Wow.
Well, too, when you are acquired by big companies like Procter & Gamble or L'Oreal,
right.
and you evaporate. Yeah, you. There is nothing to unless you stay on as a consultant or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But no,
and that doesn't
you evaporate.
Usually last too long. Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Cheryl Morrow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing. I'm yeah. looking forward to this documentary.
Well,
so,
on
that.
Because I was in
yeah,
I yeah. was in the studio doing San Diego Monitor News business as a publisher because we now had it
yeah.
added a podcast studio, right? And in the middle of
wonderful.
That, I see, I get a phone call from Chicago or someplace, and they want, you know, 1,000, you know, Willie Morrow blow dry novels. It's just that, you know, here I go, I'm in the newspaper, but I get calls about something that was created over 45 years ago, and it's still the number one heat tool on Amazon. That is succession.
Well,
so I have to
everybody.
Get an order for
let's...
something in beauty. Yeah, and
yeah.
It's an amazing
and
thing.
Exactly.
Because that's a company, and it's not.
Yes,
you know.
And I want to remind,
yes.
I absolutely want to remind everybody about the amazing legacy and lineage that you have. So we're talking about the Morrow family dynasty. So I'm in the hair business, and your father, as you
yes.
just mentioned, that starting with the novel, tell us a little
yes.
bit about his invention, because that really, that hit the mark out there and made him pretty much a household name. In the hair industry,
yeah.
as far as I'm concerned.
Well, just combs, period. I think that in those 60s, 1964,
uh-huh.
Bringing to commercial market is the brilliance of Mr. Morrow. Not the fact that creating or duplicating something that had already been done in the continent of Africa. So the comb in and of itself is not the invention. The invention is to be able to put it in industrial commerce to make it available, because if you didn't go to the continent of Africa
mm-hmm.
in 1963, 1964, you wouldn't get it.
You
wouldn't
get it,
get it. Right? Yes.
Correct.
So the ability for him to take it, to redesign it, patent it, take it to the U.S. Congress, put it into commerce and to commercialize it, monetize it, right, and productize it
yes.
and make it available for black people in the West Indies, black people in North America, black people in Canada, you know, in Europe, and black people in Asia, black people in Africa, too. They didn't know it was a thing, you know. So we could fashion and style our hair and be a part of the secular world. So the Afrocomb was put in the secular world by Mr. Morrow by redesigning it and industrializing it. It's the same process as taking tobacco. Yeah, tobacco is natural in its environment, but to make it be consumed and then enrich yourself by that great legacy called an Afrocomb, and then making other people have it in Cuba and you know, in Hawaii and in other places. So that was the brilliance invented up to create this generation, and then you have the first one, and then the next generation of them, and then to have utility patents, and then go into, you know, making a comb and a blow dry so we can have blowouts and straighten hair and things of that nature. That was, I think, the difference between a Mr. Marl, a Joe Dudley, a Gardner, a Fulshing. It was just a different angle to being part of the legacy of ethnic beauty.
Absolutely. And I just want to also bring attention to that documentary, because to me, 400 years without a comb was so far ahead. Now, documentaries are a lot more, you know, out there. Maybe it has a lot to do with the pandemic that we have come through. But I do want to say that the documentary, that documentary really started a lot of the hair industry documentaries, if you will, to me. You know, I think it's one of the most well-known and most seen hair industry documentary in the world. So, and we're talking about 400 years without a comb, and it's still out there, and I'm just loving that. So, again, we're talking about hair legacies and loving it.
It started out as a book. And I think that that is probably one of the reasons why it's the hair care, you know, historical Bible that everyone goes to, you know, because it's a three-generation book. In all three decades, Mr. Marl rewrote it. And then in the last, the fourth quarter of its generation and its edition, he created the film. So, and Mr. Marl just really deals with the culture inside of the plantation, and it starts there, because the commercial market that you and I enjoy was started on the plantation. It formed itself into, and because of that complete disconnection for about three centuries, that disconnection from the world's first organized beauty kind of, you know, that activity, the way we did it, you know, it was not quite done. When Europe went to colonialize Africa, that is where they learned hygiene. The roots of beauty is hygienic, not, you know, fashion and styling and things of that nature. But it was basically really had its roots in hygiene. And I think that starting there, only a black person could have done that, Gary. You know, no one cared about
absolutely,
obviously, how you fashioned
absolutely
yourself and cleaned yourself and how you, you know, became this really sophisticated society and culture, and how you, you know, you did things, you know, with your body and your health and well-being. No one was interested in that type of story. So, yeah, once again, Mr. Marl hit it on the head, you know.
And it didn't stop there. The San Diego Monitor News, I want to talk about that. Can you tell us a little bit, for those who are outside of the California experience, if you will, what exactly is that? And I believe that you go everywhere with it. So tell everybody about it.
Returned from New York. I lived in New York for 19 years. And, you know, one of the things that, and this is me, you know, I'm going to tell this story in the documentary. One of the reasons why Mr. Marl got into publishing is not really because he had a great love for journalism, but Black people don't really understand that it's legacy to get a newspaper. All hair care men, all hair care families, it was almost like a rite of passage. You had to get a publication. You know, most people think that John Johnson got the publication and then got into the hair business. No, John Johnson was already in beauty. So their mentor, S.B. Fuller, always told them and taught Joe Dudley, George Johnson, which is Ultra Sheen, Johnson Products, and then John Johnson, which was Johnson Publishing. When you start your beauty line, you get you a newspaper. So Mr. Morrow was just following the great recipe and the great formula of success of S.B. Fuller, one of his mentors. So
yes, yes.
All of them got newspapers. So Mr. Morrow got created one in San Diego in 1986 because of the mentor Bill Thompson. In creating, S.B. Fuller always taught them that you create your own advertising tool. So if you get on the cover of somebody else's publication, that was fine. But make sure that you are always, you create a product, you got to have a way to advertise it. So create a magazine in and of itself. Put some content. And you see how forward they were, actually? And
oh,
you
yeah.
think about
oh,
how,
yeah.
the,
and,
how
and
powerful
that,
content
yeah.
is today. Yeah.
So oh, absolutely! They were way ahead.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was opposite. You know, it was to be the power of the advertisement. You know, be ahead. Put yourself on your own cover. Put yourself. You know, look bigger than you know you actually are. You know, put your own content out there, your own stories, and then put yourself on the on the cover, and then put your own ads in. Yeah, so it was always about advertising the actual
yeah.
root business. So that's how Mr. Morrow
exactly.
got into it, and then, of course, and it just rolled into a journalistic product, you know, local business, local people, and things of that nature. And then
which I love,
it's been adjudicated for over almost, we're heading into 40 years, And so
that
I had just
amazing.
Taken over, and of course, in 2010, I turned it digital. I saw the handwriting on the wall, and I was the first black paper in the state of California to be adjudicated and digitized at the same time. So it was I made sure that I created a hybrid, and it was probably because of my technical skills, graphic skills and technical skills and all that stuff I learned while I was in New York. That I can make that turn and that very, very quickly. So,
well, I love
we
the stories
are,
that you guys cover. Yeah, yeah. We've got to tell folks,
thank
how
you,
can they get their
way.
Hands or see? Oh, absolutely. I love when you guys put things out on the internet and, and I see and you do such good work. I love the pictures and the graphics and everything. You're not telling the same stories that everybody else is telling. And that's
no,
I refuse to. Exactly.
Yeah, I think that our people need orientation and information. Because at the end of the day, we have a saying: if you're not informed, news doesn't matter. If you don't know anything.
Whoa.
You don't know anything.
I
if you're
have
not
to write
informed.
That one down. If you're not informed,
you.
The news doesn't matter. Wow, that says it all. Wow. Okay. Let me bring everybody on up to speed with this. If you're kind of just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the All Know Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, my very special guest today. She really returns back to us. It's been quite a while. She comes back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. You guys know her. She was out here with us on the East Coast. But she's returned to California, the San Diego area, as we were just talking about, the SDMN, San Diego Monitor newspaper, which we just love, this San Diego Monitor News, I should say. So, Cheryl, how can they get this online? Do you have a place that you can send everybody to find out more, to register?
It's a mobile site, so you can get it on your mobile device. And
yay.
You can go to the website, sdmonitornews.com. Our story content is very off the beat. I am very picky what our readers are exposed to. They're
exactly.
always are going to get a very avant-garde, a very different way of looking at things.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I believe that's one of our impediments. We are so 1960s directed We are so infused in the 1960s that to get, you know, especially African Americans
to
out
get past
of
it, yeah.
the 60s and 70s, it's very hard to get us back into the present moment of who we are.
Exactly.
And I tell them all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. You think about it, African Americans, all 46 million, what the average age of an African American in this country is 26 years old.
Isn't that,
and then
wow,
dealing with the African diaspora, they're 19. So if you think about 26 and 19, then, you know, that's a lot of time that, you know, we've got to look at things differently. We've got to look
we
at things very, very millennial. Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
And I
yeah.
think that that could be one of our strengths, thinking
absolutely.
About things in such a different way. To get something. I have also another saying, you know, we want something we've never had. We've got to do something we've never done. We've got to think ways
exactly.
that we've never thought. And
exactly. Well, let me
so,
turn
so
to, yes, well, let me turn to probably the, I'm going to call it the elephant in the room, and that is the pandemic. Yes, and I know that's a topic and a half. That's a, you know, we'll probably have to add on 2 or 3 hours. Cover this one, but I have, what is your take when you look back? Because right now, as we go to the air with this particular broadcast today, we are more than what they're saying in terms of emerging and all of that. And what can you say looking back? What was the experience like in California and the hair biz part where you were? And California, to me, California is a very different, had a very different approach with all of that. But what's your take? You are living there.
Yeah.
What's
well,
your take
say
on
because of
yeah.
the weather. Because of the weather, I think we made an adjustment very quickly because we could go outside very quickly. We were always outside, you know. And so I think that they
yeah.
adjusted well. I think African Americans did not adjust well because, of course, you know, and to me, let me just say this, the elephant in the room is not really quite the pandemic from my perspective. The elephant in the room is that the fact that black people are prone to be frightened, much more traumatized than our other racial counterparts. So we don't adjust well. We have the boogeyman. You know, everything's the boogeyman for us. And our people secretly in our silos were saying, oh, stay in, you know, and that is not quite good for business.
Wow.
So you are naturally afraid, you don't pivot. You're very slow to react. And you can imagine, Carrie, I was very avant-garde and had a different take on it, you know, because after – I would probably say March of 2020, it was not a pandemic at that point. It was an epidemic in the United States, an epidemic in Brazil. It wasn't a pandemic at that point. Other world governments had contained it. And so that's what we keep saying. The
world we were slow to
that.
Get it
the
under
the world,
or under.
Yeah, like the rest of the world. Had our issues. No, the rest of the world, the continent of Africa barely is reaching 4,000 deaths. The whole 54 countries.
The whole continent,
that says,
right.
That's enormous if you think about it. And there's something quite not right with that. You know, within 50 to 100 to 200 miles, you know, from where we quote unquote say it began, I mean, they have less than maybe
right.
300. And so it wasn't a pandemic long. It was an epidemic. And I think that because our news outlets, and speaking of the San Diego Monitor News, I just refuse to kind of put fuel on the fire and, you know, and I didn't take, and I'm going to say this, you know, I didn't take any COVID money. I refused to because I
really?
Can't say no. No, because you can't really stay.
Well, they were throwing it out there.
Yeah, they were.
they were
let me just say this, and I refuse to kind of have And I think I did it once, and you know, Carrie, I just couldn't do it because one of the things, because it doesn't allow you to look at things objectively. And if we're going to have black news, and if we're going to be very neutral, you can't be involved in that kind of thing. And let me just say this: as our mother company, which is Beauty, I can afford to do that, and I understand that most papers needed that money to, you know, so, hey. And because I was digitized prior to 10 years ago, I pivoted very quickly to digital and still maintained my other advertisers. So, you know, 2020 was not did not affect me. Not economic.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because
and
three
so
the census was going on at the same time, so that was very supportive.
Yeah, that's true. Which changed the game here in New York for us to a degree. I have to say, though, looking out, so what are some of the, you know, when you look at the beauty industry, you know, how, in your opinion, has it affected the mm-hmm. folks in the beauty industry? I mean, especially, like you said, in California, though, see, you guys remind me of Georgia. Right after this pandemic was kind of declared, right, Georgia was like, okay, we're like literally about 2 weeks later. This again, everybody. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
I remember having panel discussions on our broadcast here on the Hair Radio Morning Show in the year 2020. It was just strange, a very strange dynamic in different states.
Yeah.
And so the industry was very different, and then with and we've had the people from Barbicide and all these other folks on, and they scared the bejesus out of us with the discourse on television news, as you were kind of saying. It's almost surreal. So So when you look at the beauty industry, will we make it? What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't even think it's that the salon. I think that we could have pivoted. That I also was involved in some technology and formulation and dealing with a disinfectant that covers you from all viruses 9.993.
Really?
And it protects you for 90 days. You don't even have to sanitize. Once you sanitize your
hands,
you know, you protect it. Yes. We have it in production. It has all of its OSHA and FDA passage. So I answered it in a very technological way. But here's the thing, Carrie. It's not about what is going on in the salon per se, because black hair care professionalism is wired through the salon. But the industry is wired through the trade show. Once you took the trade show and you could not meet in the groves of 7,000 to 10,000 people, you decimated the ethnic hair care industry, because the ethnic hair care industry is wired through the trade show. So now the expo, and now the festival, and now the trade shows, you can't meet. So how do you carry along something that is wired through the actual platforming, hair site, and trade show, and all these big, huge halls and auditoriums?
Exactly.
And convention centers. When you can't meet.
And I'm raising my hand right now.
Devastated. Yeah. And so that means that ethnic hair care, because it's the Banner Brother, as you know, it is over. The international show in New York is over. You can't meet.
Wow.
Those are too many people in one confined space, and now, you know, you're just trying to stay 6 feet apart, you know, and you got to, you know, that is a nightmare.
It was a show killer for sure. Yeah.
And so the problem
I've got to say
is that,
to you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, please finish your thought. The problem is.
So the question and the challenge for black hair care and ethnic beauty is what is – because we needed to pivot long before this.
And I have been telling show promoters for at least 5 years, pivot to the small conference and the more con kind of business model and create a different kind of gathering to where it's an invited list. And it happens more often instead of once or twice a year. And so,
this is what I speak to 1,000%. Absolutely right.
Yeah, they act like I didn't, say anything. So, invite the formulators. You know what I mean? Invite, create a TED Talk style, or there's so many other ways to bring smaller groups. Yeah.
Exactly, and to create those lanes that'll support you and take you through these times. Now, Cheryl, I've got to say, there is one big story that we are revisiting here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. And this, not too long ago, but there was a huge story. Now, I'm telling you, it was the number one covered story, especially in the hair and beauty industry, but it had crossed over into mass media. And this was the story of the Gorilla Glue girl who had put the glue in her hair, the Gorilla Glue, and she was rescued, so to speak, by a California doctor, Dr. Michael Obing, who was a guest on our very show on the Hair Radio Morning Show. He spoke to Hair Radio first about this this ordeal for this young woman and how he was able to remedy the situation. But let's start with your take on this, because we're talking about this again as we'll be checking in to see what's new and what's the latest that's going on. It's been a few months. Has her hair grown back? What happened? What's going on? So we will revisit it. But what's your take on this situation? I wish I could have seen your face when you heard this on the news.
You know,
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall.
Yeah, you know it. I'm always going to be honest with you, Carrie.
Yeah.
Wow. And let me just say this, and I am in no way invalidating anybody. The doctor thing was to me was a little far out there. It's so funny because the glue. And here we go again. And this is me sticking up for my beauty and beauty professionals, because I am a hairstylist. For that particular act connected with a doctor, to me, because at the end of the day, the glue in and of itself is not a medication. That's number one. Number two, it's not. It's in the store where a common person can purchase it. And for not a beauty professional to not be able to help her, and I won't even say be able to help her, right? Because what the medical professional used to unstick the stickiness of the solution, anybody could have done that. Because what he used to do that. Now, will you save the hair from the high content of what the effects because of that particular chemical that in that glue did it, because we have to ask what was on the hair first. Was it relaxed?
Exactly.
Was it natural? At the end of the day. So, and to me, because it probably was not really on her scalp, that the scalp hair is probably the hair that is going to obviously be the healthiest. But, I already know in terms of, of course, we don't necessarily talk about it all the time, but I'm the only cosmetic trichologist in the world that deals with cosmetology-based hair loss on afro textures. But, eventually that hair is going to be cut away from her body. Yeah.
It's not going
wow.
to be. It's not
wow.
good. So,
Cheryl,
you know, I don't know. I don't know how much help he was. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, he.
Yeah, so I'm a little
yeah.
in the middle. Yeah, I'm a little in the middle
okay.
with the doctor angle, you know, because eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've got to be back
you know,
on the show
so.
When he's here. So, because
oh, yeah.
I would love for you to, yeah, to break it all down with Dr. Oving, who just seems
yeah,
like a nice
yeah.
gentleman and all. But, you know, there's a whole lot more to this story. There is. There's a great
oh, I'm
deal
sure.
of this story.
I'm sure.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And
I'm
just grateful that we were in the middle of it somewhere.
Well,
I'm just grateful that
well,
we
at
were
the end
there.
Of the day, you have to cover it. You know, if nothing
yeah.
is black,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
black news and ethnic beauty news, that story was a prime example of it. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, I am honored. Again, we've been chatting with the amazing Cheryl Morrow. Hair royalty, you've been declared and named that for decades. We've been calling it that, hair royalty, right here on our broadcast today. So, yeah,
I appreciate
your take on it because I've always wanted to you know, when I hear some of these big stories and some of these big things, I always say, what in the world would Cheryl Morrow say? Really, what would you say about it? Because you always have an interesting
The moment I saw
ways.
That, you know, because you know the moment I saw it, I was like, oh, God, here we go again. You know, why didn't she just end up at a salon? How did we get to the doctor?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, really weird. You know, but anyway. Yeah.
Yes. Well, it's about education, and that's where you come in, education. And what was that line earlier? If you're not informed, then the news don't matter.
Well, if you're not informed, news doesn't matter. Yeah, you can't gossip with anybody
yes.
if you're not really informed about what they're gossiping about. You know, you can't gossip.
I love
with
it.
You know?
I love it.
That's it.
I totally
yeah.
agree. Well, Cheryl Morrow, now what's next for you? What's next for you?
I think that I am going to probably be peeling away from the publisher kind of role at San Diego Monitor News. The George Floyd thing kind of took me out. I think I wanted to be at the helm during that incident and in the one-year anniversary and, you know, all of these things.
Well, were you one of those
coming
who
up.
Were... Were you against the use of the word anniversary? I didn't understand that because anniversary means, you know, just that. It doesn't indicate or mean that it was, you know, party on a table per se. But I saw a lot of stuff online that said, oh, don't call it an anniversary. No media company call it an anniversary. It's not a celebration. So I said, well, I understand what I think what the person meant or their sentiment, but I don't think that I don't see what the harm of the word itself, anniversary. How do you weigh in, being a media company, Ms. Publisher of the San Diego Monitor News?
Oh,
how
boy.
Do you weigh in on that?
Well, you know, the wonderful thing that I got a call one day, and it was the first cousin of Mr. Floyd.
Mm.
Their mother are sisters, and he is stationed here in San Diego. And he grew up with him. And
wow.
after, you know, experiencing that whole thing, you know, it really, you know, that is tomato, tomato, you know, anniversary, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, we
yeah.
know what, it, you know, it,
yeah.
it, what happened.
We
and,
know what it really means. Exactly.
You know, well, we get caught up in things of that nature. And I think that once we deal with our trauma, about it, then we can clearly talk about preventing it. And that is very hard to get. And that's why I don't join a lot of black news outlets. I'm just,
the chatter,
you know, we're just
and
different.
All stuff, yeah.
yeah, we're just different
yeah.
because at the end of the day, on this end of the world, we have a wonderful civil rights activist and founder of the People Alliance for Justice Advocates. His name is Reverend Shane Harris. You know, he's approaching it in terms of preventing and plucking out the next Derek Chauvin. It's not, you know, yours is one focus that people can focus on. But at the end of the day, we're not plucking out. I mean, he had 7 to 8 excessive forces on his record already, 19 years. Why didn't we understand that this guy was a problem? You know, so
exactly.
Let's just focus
exactly.
on. So on our side of the world, we're choosing to think tank and focus on better policy in that regard from the incident. In my experience with Mr. Gary Jones, which is a cousin, he's in the military as well, you know, San Diego, that is renowned for that. I think that, you know, it's you know, we can ring the bell, but, you know, if you listen to the recording, you know, it's
wow.
he's going to jail for fraud, which means that they were executioner, judge, and jury. Just arriving on the scene. So we want to prevent
right.
that because there's something that happens before excessive force. And there is a disregard of the Constitution. And that is the problem. It's the problem when they approach you that you are outside of the rules. And why is, you know, I tell Black Lives Matter and the whole people, Black lives don't matter, won't matter until Black life matters. And so that
Ooh,
is what
okay.
happened before the incident.
Yeah. Yeah,
and once that happens,
wow.
that will, then when Black life matters, the way we, who we are in and of ourselves, when that matters to you, like it matters to you, you know, like your life and white life, Italian life, and, you know, when that, when life matters, the way people live and how they move and their morals and their efforts and their ethos,
well,
if that matters,
we have.
Then we will,
yes.
yeah.
Well, we have about mm-hmm. 60 seconds. I wanted to just to thank you. And is there anybody that you'd like to shout out to or pass along some well thoughts before we close out this morning?
Oh, just the whole ethnic beauty world. I think that we're all in it together, and we're going to make
yes.
a change, bring some technology and innovation, and work with Carrie to
– yes. Please.
Create this whole new gathering, this whole new way of doing things and expound on the legacies of the pioneers. Absolutely. I'm excited, Carrie.
Absolutely. Me too.
Get ready. Welcome, people.
At the all-natural
corner. We are the all-natural corner. 12,000 rows. Cater to all natural body treatments, body products, skincare at the all natural corner. Yeah, we got things for health, wealth. Why not make your beauty more beautiful? At the all natural corner. Steam moss, bladder rack. We got soursop moringa. Everything that makes your body
at the
all natural
corner.
This is the all natural corner, 12 Charleston Road, Willenboro, New Jersey, 080-46-267-670-9457. We got all natural products, we love the community at the all natural corner. You can get it all. All you can come and get at the all natural corner. At the all natural corner.
At the all natural
corner. Tell them what you think.
Yes, I was there and I talked to the manager and he let me know that all natural products was good for my body. He had 102 minerals for me and I was good, you know. I'm going to come back all the time because it's all right at the all natural corner. I can't say anything else.
But
radio commercials as much as they do television commercials?
Maybe more so.
How do you figure that?
Well, on television, your tube goes minute just before the commercial comes on.
Yeah?
That serves as a warning device to millions of people that they have a split second to get out of the room.
I never thought of that.
In radio, an advertiser can just sort of sneak up on you without any warning.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you haven't noticed your car radio suddenly fading to black before the commercial, have you?
Not recently, no. But can't you still walk out when the radio commercial comes on?
Not at 60 miles an hour.
Hmm. Okay. But do you think you can really make me pay attention to a radio commercial?
I just did.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today we have a very, very special guest with us. Her name is Peggy Dotson. Now, she is the woman behind UBC TV Network. The Hair Radio Show would like to welcome Miss Peggy Dotson. Welcome, Peggy.
Hey, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, listen, first of all, it's great to have you here. Now, we need to tell everyone what the UBC TV Network is.
Okay. First of all, Carrie, I'm so excited about being here. I am your fan. I think you're awesome. It's just really great. Well, UBC TV is actually, it started out as a concept for a TV network, but it has evolved into a broadcast multimedia company with different divisions and things like that. So it's sort of like a hybrid between a cable network, broadcast network, and a technology company, online company like a Netflix. So it's sort of like my own creation because of where we are in the industry. You know, cable is there, but it's not there like it was before. People are unplugging, and so people want the opportunity to view things on different platforms. By the way, which I have, you know, was ahead of my time because I was pushing this years ago,
Years. We're not going to say how many.
It's true. I know we don't want to say how many, but you know, and then people want, you know, to see original content. Content is still king and queen. So that's what basically we're all about, is original content that is distributed over multiple platforms, including, you know, online, live streaming on demand, cable, live events, and different other little, arms of it, which I think we'll get into as we move forward. But that's what it's evolved into. Not just a network,
terrific,
but more than that. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? We are going to get into every facet of this, Peggy. We really are.
Okay.
But let's go back a little bit. Let's start at the beginning. Now, with our fans, tell everybody where you are from and where you take care of business these days.
Okay. Well, the planet Venus. No, I am actually, I feel like an alien. I'm actually originally from Arkansas. The great
Arkansas.
State of Arkansas. Yeah, Bill Clinton and Maya Angelou. I'm from Stuttgart, actually. Stuttgart, Arkansas, which is really in between Little Rock and Pine Bluff. So I grew up down south. And the first half of my life and the second half of my life, there's a third and a fourth part of my life that I haven't lived yet, so it's not over yet. But the next phase of my life I grew up in is in New York City. So, I'm from Stuttgart, Arkansas. My mother and father were entrepreneurs. God bless them. They're my mentors. They're my inspiration. They both are with God, and they passed away. They are with me every day. My father was a master plumber, and he was and that was revolutionary at that time because you don't have very many African Americans who are master plumbers in Stuttgart, in a town, Stuttgart, Arkansas, which was, you know, racially divided. And my father and mother had businesses that catered to white people. I mean, we, you know, at that time, like I said, in the South, I was growing up, you know, the Civil Rights era had started, and the Black Panthers and all that kind of stuff, but we still had a lot of racial division down there. And, you know, so and it was very, you know, that's, you know, it affected me and helped mold me, and I started working with my daddy. I did a little bookkeeping stuff at age 10 in his plumbing company. And it just taught me discipline. And then at age 14, I was working with my mother. She, my mother had a restaurant. So we had a restaurant business kind of in our family. And I learned the restaurant business. I was on the grill cooking. I was waiting tables. And I answered the phone, you know, to take orders. And I answered the phone for my daddy, Dawson's Plumbing Company, and when the clients called and all that kind of stuff. So at age 10, up to 14, I was, learning the how to be an entrepreneur. And it's so important, I feel, that we have to teach our children at a young age about money and entrepreneurship, because it really has helped me to, it has helped mold and shape me and helped me to be independent, a self-starter, and helped me get through a lot of adversity that I would not regularly have probably gotten through the way that I have, and I landed on my feet, you know, because it does teach you discipline.
Yes, absolutely. I'm quite amazed when I hear a story like yours, in which both of your parents were entrepreneurs, and you helping out, because it does. What that does, in my belief, is that it channels that wonderful, it just teaches you without having to have been taught, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's almost like osmosis, you know. It just goes right on in there, and it's there. It's there. And you don't even realize it's there. And then, you know, as you start getting older, somehow it kind of harkens back to that great foundation and introduction and fortitude that you just happen to have picked up along the way. That you know, it's just, I'm blown away by that something that you were able to get from your father and your mother. And look at the way that I look at it, look at the legacy that you've been able to, you know, to continue.
Also my spiritual connection to God, and you know, my mother and father were very into the church, and you know, it has extended through me. I'm a very spiritual person. It has pushed me to expand and learn a lot about different religions and cultures and things. But mom and daddy, my mother was like the mother of a church, and she was a gospel promoter. I met the Mighty Clouds of Joy, Reverend James Cleveland, at a young age, because my mother, She put on gospel. She was a gospel promoter. And my mother was amazing. I'm telling you, my father was amazing. And they are both I learned a lot about that, and it helped me in my music, you know, because I have another part of me that's part of the music industry and singing and all that. And
you do have a beautiful voice for you guys out there. So maybe you'll give them a little treat, in a little later on in the interview today.
We'll see about that.
I'm putting her on the spot, everybody.
I know.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, it is amazing. And so these are things that are just, you know, like I said, they're quite remarkable. And all these wonderful things help to shape the experiences that you have, and that you have under your belt, and kind of pushed you towards this wonderful, extraordinary entrepreneur in your own right. And so we're going to get into that a little bit. So you grew up in Arkansas, and then your family kind of moved up north to New York somehow, and you kind of, how did that come into play? And then where did this wonderful inspiration for this wonderful network come from?
Well, you know, my family, I'm daring. I'm a risk taker. My mother did not want me to actually go to New York, but my father was an adventurer, and you know, they were still in Arkansas. I eventually moved to Texas, but there was
a big difference between New York. We're going to be fair. Big difference between New York and Arkansas, especially probably in those days.
Well, at the time, in Stuttgart, Arkansas, I did a whole bunch of stuff. I was like first runner up Miss Teenage Black America for our region. Yeah, my mother put me in pageants and I ended up singing a lot and you know, competitions and things like that. Like I said, at that time in high school,
mm-hmm.
there was still segregation, and there was a group called the Ricelanders that I could not audition for because I was black. But so I couldn't get in there. But as far as vocally, I could out-sing all of them. I'm not bragging or anything, but like that. But my choir instructor, Jim Sparks, bless his heart, he took me aside and he taught me how to sing. I started out with Billie Holiday songs and things of that nature. And so I just ended up, long story short, doing a lot of stuff and then ended up getting two or three vocal scholarships to University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. I got a music scholarship, a vocal scholarship. So I went there. I also got offered to go to West Point Academy at the same time, that same year. West Point became men and women together. It was just men, and they were letting women in because I was also very civically I did a lot of stuff. I was student body vice president and girl state, so I got nominated for a lot of stuff. So I ended up taking the music thing because my family's very mm-hmm. music-oriented and all that, and went there, landed the head of musical shows and things like that. I was auditioned for a great a cappella group and got into that. So we ended up going, taking a trip to New York, the theater group I was involved in. I was actually playing Mary Magdalene in Jesus Christ Superstar, and then I was in The Wiz. So I played Dorothy. I was in Dorothy and The Wiz, so we at the same time we went to New York, I was Dorothy and the Wiz, and Diana Ross was filming Dorothy.
In the movie,
that's
right?
Yeah, she was filming it, and that's the same year I met her. And we have a family affiliation, the Ross family.
Wow.
And from Detroit, my family on my mother's side is from Detroit, the Rosses. And so they work at Motown and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so I wanted to meet Diana Ross. She was my inspiration. And I ended up coming to New York and on this theater trip and fell in love with New York and did not know how I was going to meet Diana Ross, but I was here and I found my way to Queens, to the studio there with a friend of mine. And I made some calls.
Is that the studio in Astoria, Queens?
I found my way to Astoria, Queens, to that studio. And I don't know how I did it, but I told everybody that I wanted to meet Diana Ross, and I did it. And I took the train there. Never been to Queens before in my life. Got on the train from Arkansas with one of my friends, and we went there to the studio, and she couldn't go in. I was the only one that could come in to meet Ms. Ross. And so I got a chance to meet Diana Ross. I met Sidney Lumet, who's the famous
director. Yeah.
Yeah. And I met the Michael had just left because he was the Scarecrow. He had left the set. So I didn't meet mm-hmm. Michael Jackson, but I met Scarecrow, but the Tin Man. I met the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Michael was the Scarecrow. I met the Tin Man. It was, you know, it was really awesome, and it was very inspirational, and she was
so just this gracious. Is when they were actually filming The Wiz.
Filming the movie. Yeah. So
now,
because they called
her
Diane, and I'm Diane, and I booked our middle names, and
wow.
It's just that for me, that was like a highlight of my life. I said, if I can go to New York City and meet Diana Ross, I need to move to New York.
Exactly. Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. Now, this is a full circle moment. It's just so amazing to me because one of our guests, who's actually on this week as well, is Hinton Battle, who played, who's a like a several, I think he's won like three Tonys, maybe more awards he played on Broadway in The Wiz.
He did.
The role he originated. The Michael Jackson role was the role that he originated. So shout out to Hinton Battle.
Yeah, hey, Hinton. I know Hinton. Hey, Hinton, this Peggy. Call me. Call me.
He is fantastic. So, yeah.
He really is.
I'm just blown away that that was during that movie. Now, what also was coming to be, it was just released that NBC Television is going to be doing a stage version of, you know, a live program that they're going to be actually, you know, bringing back the Wiz, if you will, for the TV show, a live broadcast. They've been doing these big stage productions recently.
Yeah.
So it's, the Wiz is going to get that treatment, and I am excited for anyone to take on that. Now, so your big inspiration, one of your big inspirations, so we know is, and she's inspired many, many folks, and I've certainly chatted with her daughter, Rhonda, but Barry and Diana Ross's daughter, Rhonda, in the past. But can you tell me, who were some of the others who inspired this great Peggy Dodson? And then we'll get into you.
Oh, my gosh. I have many people in different genres. Dr. King was an inspiration to me. And Reverend Jackson, who I was just with at Wall Street Summit.
Current hold it.
People.
We don't want to gloss over these wonderful folks and the kind of connections that that you felt with these folks. Now, talk a little bit about that. Let's start with Dr. King. You know, we are actually kicking off this wonderful celebration to Dr. King this week on the Hair Radio show, the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we want you to just kind of weigh in. What has Dr. King meant to you, Peggy Dodson?
Dr. King, what he has meant to me, what he means to me, is the chance to be all that you can be in a place that is equal and just. And I feel that was his life, you know, starting with African Americans. And he and the spirit to move forward in all adversities with what you believe in and your faith in God, you know, despite anything. Despite anyone, he had his conversation with God, and God spoke to him. And he went ahead despite what anyone said, because what he did had to be done. No matter if he knew that eventually his life, he'd have to forfeit his life here on this earth. But to have that faith and to accomplish, it's almost like what Jesus did, despite what anybody said, he knew that he had to do and fulfill what God meant for him to do. And I feel that we all sometimes get off track, and it's human, and we all get off track on things. But, you know, the one thing that has kept me going in all of this is my faith and me not giving up through all adversity, because this is not for the weak of heart. This industry, whatever we're in, as you know, it is that we have the deck stacked against us as a people. We don't own our images as much as we should. Stories are being told about us that we don't control. And to be able to step up, not maybe against, I won't say against, but to step out with the powers that be out there and say, hey, this is your story, but it's not my story. And to be fearful in saying that, it takes a lot. It takes faith, because it's very scary. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to let the folks out there know, if you just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and my very special guest today is Miss Peggy Dodson. Now, she is behind the UBC TV network, and we're going to get into that very shortly. But I just wanted to ask you, Reverend Jesse Jackson, now there is a great picture of you and the Reverend Jesse Jackson circulating out there around the internet, and we have that great picture for you, along with a lot of information on you, Ms. Peggy Dodson. So if you guys out there are trying to reach Peggy, you go to hairradio.com, and you'll see all of Peggy's information right there on the screen, along with some great pictures. And I'm told, Peggy, that you have some special words of advice that you are sharing exclusively with the fans of the Hair Radio Show.
Yes, definitely.
So, yeah, so we want to get you guys, following our great interview today, absolutely this will continue. So you want to go to hairradio.com and read all of that wonderful information on Miss Peggy Dotson. Now, I'm ready to get into all about the wonderful UBC TV network. So you mentioned that this is a television network, as we just indicated, but what does the UBC stand for?
Stands for Urban Broadcasting Company, which is so weird. It also stands for Uganda Broadcasting. I have a lot of, and you know, I'm so connected to Uganda. It's weird. It's weird. I love my friends from Uganda, and I have a lot of people from Uganda that actually follow me online, and they love, you know, what I'm doing. I'm very connected to Africa, but especially Uganda. That's the name of the company. It's Urban Broadcasting. I wanted something named. I didn't want to pigeonhole, and people may say Urban does, but it's, for me, it's Urban Multicultural. It's about culture, and I think that urban has been defined by others or misconstrued as something that it is not. Simply, urban is city, and rural is country. So it's urban means city, life.
Oh, okay,
lifestyle.
So urban is not just some euphemism for black. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's how people categorize it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it means different things. It can mean different things, but for me, it's about lifestyle. And mm-hmm. when you look at it, our lifestyle is the lifestyle. I mean, lifestyle is how you live, where you live, and that's
mm-hmm.
what UBC is all about, and it embraces culture. So that it's not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's all us together. I guess you could say that. UBC.
I like that. So the U couldn't stand for us. Wonderful.
Yes. Yeah,
now, Peggy,
definitely.
Tell us about some of the wonderful projects that you're kicking off at UBC.
Well, I have this has been a labor of love for me. You have to measure and time things correctly. As you know, in this industry, to do a network, it's very expensive, and it's not easy, because once you get out there, you said, oh, okay, I've got 24 hours to fill. Oh, okay, I need advertisers. A lot of my colleagues who are out there now who are just jumped on the air recently, it's that they've gotten a lot of gray hair, just by having the stress of doing that.
I can speak to that one.
You know, so my goal is to roll out, you know, to start the digital part, which I have started officially last year. We have a live stream channel where we are getting ready. We have live stream, we have on demand, and we're actually getting ready to do something very special. We're getting ready to put out a whole lineup as far as original productions that we are going to be streaming. As you know, streaming is really big right now in NBC, Netflix, everyone's jumping into that world, which for me it's a major cost, because you can't just go out and just do it anyway. You still have to have that broadcast quality to that in order to bring on the advertisers or the sponsors that you want to bring on.
Exactly.
What we're doing is the original productions that we will be either live streaming or streaming will be edited, and then from there we back into cable. So we will have, some things will just be totally online, and then some things will be shot for cable TV, which we are rolling out this year.
this spring, actually. I mean, the date is closed, so I've got to, like, blah, 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 say the date. And, but we will actually be in about 40 million households, and and we'll have channels. We'll have channel positions soon, so I know people want to know that. And I'll be making that announcement. We will be able to be on Time Warner, Comcast, and Dish Network, and DirecTV.
And you'll let us know. You'll come back and tell all the folks at the Hair Radio Show.
Yes,
okay,
most definitely.
Okay, so we can get an exclusive, guys. You've heard it right here. We're going to hold Peggy to that now.
Okay, that's okay. I would definitely do that. It'd be real. It's going to be soon. Sooner than later, it's going to be soon. But you know, that's what we're planning on doing, and I'm very, very excited about the lineup that we have. The lineup for the live streaming, of course, is different than the cable. Some of them will overlap. For instance, we have a show called the UBC Mix, which is, I guess you could say, it's almost an evolution of Soul Train. I love, and it's a show I created. A lot of the shows I created, by the way, and over years and years of research, and me, you know, years and years of research and marketing and all of that, and TV production, and what I've done with NCAA sports, and that's my background is from live TV. So I love live television, but I love dance. I dance a lot. I love house music. I love all types of music. But
Peggy, I have to say, I'm not to interrupt you at all. I just want you to absolutely let the folks know, and I want to tell everybody out there, they're listening to you and you're giving them this wonderful information. I just want to remind the folks, you're listening to Miss Peggy Dotson, who was our special guest today on the Hair Radio Show, and she's been telling us all about UBC TV Network. Now, I just want to tell all of our Hair Radio Show fans, if you want to find out more about Peggy Dotson, you want to go to her pages and find out how to reach her and find out more about UBC TV Network. We're posting everything at the hairradio.com website. So that's www.hairradio.com. And there you'll see we're going to hopefully, Peggy will put up some more pictures and all of this wonderful, these wonderful things that Peggy's providing just exclusively for our Hair Radio Show fans today. So we are so excited. And we're going to give them all the information. Now, Peggy,
great.
I have to ask you. Yes, now, we got a little bit into it, but I really want to drive this point home, and I know that you can do it eloquently. Broadcast television seems to be going through a metamorphosis. It seems to be changing in a way. It doesn't look like it used to look. There's a whole lot of, flack about it not being more representative of the folks when we go outside our door. So so individuals are saying that, well, gee, you know what? We don't control broadcasting. And when I say we, I shouldn't speak for folks, but I think what the message is that they feel that the people of color and the people who are representative of the world, the broadcasting doesn't really speak to those folks by and large. However, the internet, the new technology, seems to be controlled, so to speak, at this time by the masses. So, is there some, big, disconnect between broadcast and internet or technology and streaming and all of that? Is broadcasting changing?
Yeah, it's changing because it has to. Somewhat. The big disconnect, I mean, that's one of the reasons why YouTube is so big, because you have more control over what you want to see versus what someone else thinks you want to see. And the big problem with broadcast is that it's big.
You don't have any control.
It's
turning
your
channel.
Well, it's big, so you have large organizations that have different departments that don't even talk to each other. And you have people who have major pressure on them to create programs because you have accounting people saying, this is not making any money. You know, it's not really set up. You have big public companies who
are dividend driven, and they're not content driven. They're, you know, sports. People understand sports. That's an easy one. Those, the multi-billion-dollar business, sometimes like Fox, that's what anchors, is one of their big anchors. And then you have American Idol. And then you have a formula. The problem with broadcast and cable, too, is the formula that's used in calculating what they think people want to see and what individuals go in front of the camera. You have a formula. Oh, you have a formula for a story that is beginning, middle, end, and that is very predictable, but that's what people want because they feel that's what makes money. And then you have a formula for people that you have, maybe if you may have three white people, you may have one black person, you may, it's gotten worse. I don't know. I don't like formulas. I don't even deal with a formula. We're out of the box. My goal is to be able to represent life the way that it is and not contrive it. Even with the reality shows, they're not reality. They're contrived. They're combative. And a lot of the producers do that because they feel they have to create, you know, anger and animosity in order for that, in order for people to watch, and then advertisers sign on. And a part of that is true, but it's not all true. And we're not represented at all. And, you know, and the time when we are represented, it's so contrived and controlled and stereotypical. And, I mean, there are some shows that I'm not going to say right now. It's just people it's just like, okay, this is a black show, even with major producers that we know that do film, that when they get to television, they get into the formula. And they put this and that. Let's put this. Let's put some salt and pepper and some pasta and then this and this. And that's the recipe. And that's and if you don't do that recipe, you don't get on the air. So that's the problem. There is a big disconnect, and it has to do with culture. It has to do a disconnect with color. It has to do with people who are in positions who feel they think they know who we are and they don't, who don't know the story. But in essence, they know, all they know is that we have the buying power, $1.1 trillion, and they want our eyeballs. They need the eyeballs in order to bring on Coca-Cola and Pepsi and Mountain Dew and KFC and McDonald's. I mean, those companies know about our buying power. But the word power, you say.
Yeah, I love that. The word power. That's where all of this and what it all means. And I think that, and I think you have completely and eloquently stated what I believe is the disconnect. So going forward, we have the folks like yourself, UBC TV Network, Urban Lifestyle Programming, and you're based out of, you're based where? I just want to make sure we hit all of that.
I'm in New York. I'm in New York City.
New York City!
And, you know, in Harlem, which is the urban capital of the world, you know, it's New York City, and we have a new base that we're building in Las Vegas, and I'll talk about that at some point. We're going
terrific.
To be doing some really exciting things there with another division of the company. We're based here, but we're a global company. We're looking right now. We have some productions that we're working on, a major reality show with a major celebrity that we're I can't announce it yet. Yes,
okay,
a major
but you
celebrity
promised to come back
that we,
here and tell
yes,
the fans
we have a
of
major,
the Hit Radio show.
Yeah, okay. A major celebrity that we're doing a deal with that we are going to. We're doing a reality show with them. We're going to be following them around, not just here, but we're going overseas. And so that is, you know, that's kind of like what, and some of the programs, the teasers and stuff will be available online. And the rest of it will be on cable. And that's what I like. I like going between, I like the model that I've created because it gives me the flexibility to do things online.
Right, you're not just doing one thing only.
Right, I'm not just stuck to cable, and I'm not just stuck you know, on one just online. It gives me the flexibility to go back and forth with a show, actually. You can take part of the show, you can put it online and take another part of it, you can put it on cable. That way you go back and forth and you hit different audiences by that way. And we are a producing network, which is very important. I wanted to say that. Even though we are doing partnerships with other producers and production companies, but I am a showrunner and I've created my own originals, and I have a great production manager, Academy Award nominated production manager. He's done everything.
Wow.
Worked with Billy Joel. He knows music, he knows sports, and he's just awesome. So it gives us the ability to be a producing network so that we can actually produce our own originals. We can create the originals, we can produce them and distribute them. And we bring in our own advertising and sponsors and things like that. And I have an agency that I'm also dealing with. But it gives flexibility for creativity, and that's what I wanted, because I'm a creative person. I don't want to be in a box where, oh, I'm just a cable network, so I just got to do this. And I love my cable people, I'm just online, so I just can't do this. No, I love my technology people, so I want both. I want both. So it gives us the opportunity to not only create wonderful kind of like reality shows, music events, things of that nature that we have. We have some exciting things planned. I tell you, we are
ready
to step out.
You guys are
into
just moving along. Now,
yes.
I do want to ask you, Peggy, being a successful person out there in business, what words could you say to someone who's trying to follow in the great footsteps that you have trailblazed in terms of broadcasting and setting up your own network and working just all over the country with folks? What words can you say that just might be that great little inspiration that someone needs about now?
There's a couple of things. My inspirational words is never give up. My Jewish godfather, who has passed away, Burl Walk, always told me, he says, Peggy, never, ever, ever give up. That is my anthem. The other thing is learn as much as possible about the industry that you're in. Study it, go to trade shows, find mentors in the industry, which is what I've done. I studied this industry. I met people in the industry, just like I did when I was in the music industry. You know, I went to Luther Vandross and I said, Luther, tell me about the industry. This is actually what I did when I moved to New York, and I wanted to to find out about the recording industry, which is a totally different industry, just being a singer.
Right.
I mean, people think I'm a singer. I'm not digressing. I mean, I'm a singer. I want to be a great singer. No, if you want to be a professional singer, that means you are in the business of entertainment. So you need to know about that business. And I just went to every person I could talk to and had them tell me about the industry. And that's how you learn. And then you get mentors in that industry that are, great people who have high positions. One of my mentors, he's retired now from Fox, is Roland McFarlane, who is the only African-American executive at a high level at Fox in Los Angeles at Fox TV and Fox Studios. And he adopted me, I adopted him. And I would always ask him questions and ask him, do you think this idea could work? He said, Peggy, go for it. It's going to work because it's needed. So I always have mentors, even to this day, that I go to and to listen to and talk about things. And I see mentors and just research and just never giving up on your dream, but also just being flexible, because what you see now may be a little different than what it really ends up being. I've had to be flexible in my vision with UBC. Like I said, I wanted the network, and now it's UBC. TV network, but it's really just one component of it. We have media, and we have a couple other, we have film. We could talk about the film division. I have a couple other divisions, and we have sports. We have some other things that have branched off, and we're also going to be building studio facilities. So, you know, it's
a lot.
It's turned into a lot.
On, Peggy.
Yes, I do. And we need to talk about the shopping. You know, don't let me forget about that.
Yes,
that's something I really want to discuss.
Yes, well, we definitely will. And folks, if you've just joined us, this is a very, very special interview today right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've got a person who is just doing extraordinary things in the way of business and community. The Hair Radio Show is very, very proud to welcome Miss Peggy Dotson. Peggy, again, welcome to the Hair Radio Show.
Thank you.
Now, listen, we've been talking a lot about some of the wonderful business enterprises that you're involved with. And when we talk of UBC TV Network and some of the wonderful programming that we can soon expect, we have to get into the shopping aspect that is about to kick off right here on the this UBC TV Network. So tell our fans out there, tell the show fans about this wonderful ideas.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that sometimes I think I'm just totally crazy, but that's all right because my dear godfather said you got to be a little crazy to do this. But
yes.
the one thing that I see things that are needed, and I try to move to. Create a solution for that, and that's one of the reasons why UBC has been gestating over the past couple of years, really gestating and getting ready to and slowly rolling out. And people say, "When are you rolling out?" Okay, just wait. I got something I'm working on here. But one of the things that I wanted to do, and I've always wanted to do, was to create a shopping component to my network because I wanted to create something whereas I'm not like the other networks where I have to really depend on all the advertisers and sponsors. I want to be able to groom my shows, but I wanted to create an additional revenue streams, and that will keep the company going. And so I've actually created Urban Home Shopping Network. It is a part of – it's going to start out as a show, and then we're going to actually evolve to a separate thing. But it is for – it is an urban QVC. It's for small businesses, women-owned businesses, and people of color who want to gain entry into the home shopping network arena and cannot. I mean, as you know, Home Shopping Network and QVC they're starting to cater to smaller businesses because small business is the backbone of this country.
Exactly.
It is the backbone of this country, and people need to really understand that. And I want to do my part to help the economy. And in order to do that and to give opportunities to small businesses who actually want to get their products out on television or distributed globally.
Well,
so
let me just tell you, Peggy Dotson, this is such an extraordinary business that you have launched. So I'm going to just take a quick moment to inform those folks out there, you guys listening right now, that you can go to hairradio.com, and we'll put all of Peggy's contact information there so that we know that you're going to be very much interested in being part of this wonderful, these upcoming projects and some of the things that she's working on now. So you'll just go to hairradio.com, our website. And we have a profile there with Peggy's information and all about how you can contact her to get involved. Peggy, I have to say to you, any final thoughts? You've been such a terrific guest with us on the Hair Radio Show today.
Wow. Well, you know, my final thoughts is I appreciate you have taken the, you know, giving me the time to come on here and inviting me. And I know that we could talk for hours because there's so much going on right now.
Yeah.
You know, my final thoughts is, you know, about UBC, go like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We have, if you have any questions about new shows that we have, you know, you're free to contact us as an email address, or we are looking for, you know, new shows. I am looking for content, and you know, if you want to join us or whatever, just, you know, like us. And we have to. All I can say is that we have some very exciting things happening and getting ready to happen. We are going to make a major impact in the marketplace.
Yes, you already are. Now, I have to say, Peggy, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I want to say that we have a. I'm making my
step into the film world. We have a major announcement that we'll make later on, but I have a division called UBC Films, and I have been able to acquire major distribution in, you know, through Cinemark, AMC, and Regal Theaters to distribute urban films. And so that's it cannot take on anything else, but, you know, it's like it's something that has to be done because we need more. As you know, right now people are very upset about Selma and the lack of the lack of diversity, and, you know, that there has to be more diversity, and I think that's happening. Like I said, Reverend Jackson is making a lot of moves in technology and to help do that. And but, you know, there's only, besides my company, there's only one, you know, co-black. There's only, you know, there's very few black-owned companies that distribute films. So we are throwing our hat into the ring, and so we will be doing that. And I have some, that's another division that we'll be talking about over the next few weeks in reference to UBC Films and our, you know, entry into that marketplace of film production also, film production and distribution and funding. Well, I actually have a separate funding arm that films urban films. We're looking for films 3 to 5 million up to 20 million. We have funding for you know, anything less, we have to talk about as far as development projects, but we do have, I have a funding arm for that. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, we are very excited. I mean, you have so many wonderful, wonderful projects going on, and we're just excited for you. And, you know, so we want to let the folks know that this is going to continue. Go to the hairradio.com website. Peggy is also going to put some special words there for you guys and read all about her and see some of those extraordinary pictures. And we're going to have you back very soon right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Peggy again, Peggy Dotson of UBC TV Network. Peggy, thank you so much for being with us on today's Hair Radio Show.
Thank you, Carrie. I look forward to it again.
Thank you. Folks, keep it right here. There's more of the Hair Radio Show to come.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Martinet, and I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Gary Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story
and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now my very special guest with us is from the world of barbering. The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to welcome Rick Borland. Rick, good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Kerry. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. And it's great to have you with us. And I want to tell the folks, you know, barbering, we don't get a chance often to talk about barbering so much here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But if there's, you know, and we're kind of ushering this in because you're being introduced to our amazing fans and for many reasons that we're going to get into in just a bit. But I want you to tell the folks out there, where are you located and a little bit about yourself, Rick?
I'm located in Mount Vernon, New York. I am a barber instructor. I'm a teacher. So I teach hair to high school students. I teach also future barbers on how to get their license, and I make sure that they have all the necessary tools they need and knowledge they need to take the New York State Barber Test so they can come and train with me here, where I tell them about things like, I teach them things about sanitation, straight razor, body positioning, all the things that they need, facial, everything that they need to pass the New York State Barber Exam. So I'm an educator as well as a celebrity barber, and I've been doing it for a pretty long time. It's just my joy. I love hair. I love how it makes people feel.
Well, I have to say, because, you know, I was aware of, like, a lot of the cosmetology classes that they have in the high schools, but I was not as familiar with the barbering right here in my home state. So I love this. Can you tell us how this kind of, because I'm sure that I'm not alone out there, and that there may be some states where this is something that they may wish to as well start. So how did this whole thing come about for you in terms of becoming a barber instructor with the school?
Oh, well, what happened was there was a program at Rikers Island that I was teaching hair at. We were at Rikers, and we were doing a program for the inmates at Rikers, which
serious,
I partnered with.
Serious business. Wow.
Yeah, so it's you know, teaching in a prison, you know, is a little difficult. It can be, but you know what? When you empower people, especially our people, to
yeah.
you know, have a skill that can make them look better and feel better, and you know, you teach a man how to fish and not give him the fish, it does something for just their self esteem and their self awareness. What happened was the Rikers thing really wasn't the best choice, I would say. It was a good thing to do. And then what happened was, you know, the program for barbering came up and in a particular high school, and they wanted somebody that was homegrown. They wanted somebody that was licensed, experienced, and then somebody, more importantly, that knew not just barbering, but how to relate to our kids. And how to teach, and I've been teaching for years. That's one of the things I've been doing in my own barbershop is taking, you know, young guys off the street, letting them sweep up, teaching them the business of barbering, teaching them the nuances, you know, all the nuances, and teaching them how not just to be the guy that's sitting there cutting hair, but just different hair textures. And a lot of my kids, a lot of my students have gone on and opened their own barbershops and stuff like that. So I took what I was doing in my community and made it something that we took to the high schools. So, the high school actually had a need for barbering because the students were saying, "Listen, I don't want to be a cosmetologist. You know, cosmetology, you know, they felt it like it was too feminine for some of the young high school kids there, and so the guys wanted something that was kind of in their scope. So." They introduced barbering, and, you know, we've been at it for a few years, and it's been wonderful.
Well, I have to say, there's
It's funny that you say that about the guys were saying, oh, it's this and that to, you know, enter into the cosmetology program. But I have to also say there's also a bigger argument there, too, that I remember, depending upon what state you're in, there was a while that, you know, in some places you were compelled to take the entire cosmetology course when you were interested in barbering. There was very little in barbering in that course at the time. So
it's really
interesting for me when you say that. I'm like, oh, my, I remember this kind of thing. So awesome.
Yeah.
What do you say? Go ahead, Rick. I'm sorry. What do you say to
this? You know, so, I mean, Terry, like, this is like a – I don't know how to put it in a – it's almost like there's some people that go to culinary school and they still can't cook. You know, like, you know, they can prep, but, you know what I mean?
Oh, Barbara, you got to send your letters to Rick now, okay? I said some.
I love eating out. I think some, with all due respect to the people that do what they do,
right.
I just think that when you're in the game, when you're standing behind a chair, when you're in customers, you know, you're breathing in it and around it, it's a completely different animal than somebody teaching you just theory, you know? You know, so it's a different animal. You know, I teach, when we teach, one thing about hair, cosmetology or barbering, which is great, is that, you know, we can do the book, we can do the Milady's book, we can do all that other stuff,
mm-hmm.
watch videos and talk to other people, but for you to cut hair, you got to cut hair. You know, you got to be in it. You have to put some clippers and some shears, some comb. You got to do it. So, you know, it's like anything else. You can't box by watching a film. You got to actually get in the ring. You got to do what you got to do. So, it's the practical part of hair that is so fascinating. You know, that makes it great, especially for high school students. Students need to see their work. They need to see what they've built. If you're a sculptor, if you're a baker, if you're a chef, if you're a designer, you know, whatever you do, when you see that thing come together, it just gives you a sense of pride.
Well, Rick, my big thing is looking at it also with opportunities of entrepreneurship. This is where that class that you're teaching, where they can turn it into their own business. Each one of those students. And that even could be a network. So yes, go ahead, Rick.
Sir.
You know I'm so excited about all this. But you go ahead.
All right, so what happens is, just like high school, when I started cutting hair, I was 14. I was, 14? I think I was a freshman in high school, Mount Vernon High School. And
money earned in Mount Vernon. That's
where
I'm
from. I was a freshman in high school, and what happened was, the story is, I started cleaning up a barbershop when I was 14, and when I was 13, around 13 to 14, and around 14 to 15, I looked at some of the people working there who were not high school graduates, who were not college educated, and these guys had pockets full of money, and I thought, I can do this too. And I lied to my best friend, Don, shout out to Don Thomas. I lied to him, my good friend, and his father brought him to the barbershop 2 weeks later, and I cut his hair, and I never cleaned up again. So from 15 to now, and here's the thing that's crazy, Carrie, is that I have guys, and when we start our classes in September, I tell all of my students, I says, by the end of the month, you guys will be cutting each other's hair. And they're like, Mr. Borland, you're absolutely crazy. There's no way I'm letting them touch my hair. And by October, we got not only the people in our class, but we got half of the school that's looking in the door getting haircuts.
Wow.
You know, and here's the crazy part. Some of these high school guys are charging, you know, we're talking about 30 days of learning how to hold a clipper, how to bone structure, 30 days, 30 to 40, not even a full 30 days, and they're shaping each other up and wanting to get paid. You know, my students have gone on, shout out to Joel Cooper, who is, he's a point guard for, I think it's for Central Connecticut. He was one of my students, one of my first students, and he cuts the whole basketball team. Miles Blyden, who's out here, he works in a barbershop. Got a host of our Dominican brothers, young sons that are they're cutting hair. Some of my African students. And here's the thing that's crazy, Carrie. My female students are some of the best you have ever seen. They're cutting their fathers. They're cutting their uncles. They have, you know, we have a full barbershop in our high school, and a lot of our girl students are really doing their thing. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's the entrepreneurship. It's immediate. You know, it's great. It's immediate. Hair always grows. So we'll always have a chance to cut it and make some money.
Now, Rick, I have to ask you, when you started out and the barbering industry, I think the better question, is it the same as it is now that it was when you started, or has there been significant changes along the way? Is there anything
well,
you
I mean,
can shed on that?
Here's the thing that with barbering that's changed. When I started 100 years ago, it was not that many barbershops. You know, so that was one. Two, there was a mentorship. Like, so you had to pay your dues, and you know, you're in the communication. You had to pay your dues. There was no such thing as you just walking off the street and picking up a pair of clippers. Like, for you to get in a barbershop, you either A, had to go to school and you know, have put some time in, or B, you had to take my route where you had to clean up hair, you had to go to the store, you had to learn the clippers, you had to do the orders, you had to intern, you had to work until you got a shot, and then your shot came from your friend, you know, your friend that said, hey, you know, can you think you can shape me up? You know, thank God for my father, my brother Mike, all the people that, you know, gave me my shot when I was starting out, and so the barbershop has changed. I think the industry is better than it ever been, because now we got stuff like fill-in and man weaves and you know, there's different hairstyles and just different things that barbers can do that they weren't doing before. But then again, on the other side, I think it's cheapened because everybody who picks up a pair of clippers thinks they're a barber. So now you have barbers cutting hair at their homes, and then there's a certain price point that when the market is flooded, people don't understand the skill that's involved in cutting hair, because it just becomes, well, you just cut hair. No, I don't just cut hair. I'm not the guy that's in his basement that, you know, doesn't clean his clipper, that doesn't know what he's doing. You know, it's completely different. It's completely different.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. What is the best way to describe it then? Because that sounds like a barber, a real barber is A, B, or C, as opposed to just somebody, like you said, anybody picking up the clippers, because I could pick up clippers, but let me tell you, you don't want to see me trying to shape myself up, believe me. And we were left to our own devices in this past, you know, with
the situation
happening.
Yes, we were.
So,
yes, we were.
So what makes a barber? What makes a good barber, shall we say?
Let me tell you something, and I'm going to tell you the number one thing that I teach my students. Right? What makes a good counselor? Right? What makes a good friend? Is you have 70 to 80% of barbering is listening. Is listening to what the client wants. Let them tell you what they want, and it's transcribing what's inside their mind to your hand. 90%, I say 80% of this thing is listening. 20% is skill. So what makes a good barber is somebody that listens. What makes a good barber is somebody that is up on what the latest haircuts are, and somebody that knows their client. You know, somebody that knows. You know, some people say, you know what, I want to try this, that, and the other. But you have to say to them, do you really want to try X, Y, Z? And you would have to give them options and choices and talk to them before they make that commitment. So. And then somebody that is skillful enough to have that has the right tools and material and products, you know. So being a barber is listening, and then being skillful enough to translate what they want and put it on their head, you know,
oh,
and following the rules. So, you know, that's what it is. Like, what makes a good friend? Somebody that you can call and they're not just talking when you talk. They're like, Carrie, what's going on with you? Talk.
Exactly.
And that's what the bond is. And I think that's what the bond with Barbara and Clark. Because we're not just barbers. Barbers are counselors, psychiatrists,
and in our community,
preachers.
Your dads quite often.
Dads. Absolutely. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, Carrie. One time we had a single, we had a lady that went through a divorce, husband walked out, and she was too proud to ask for any money, so we hired her sons for the whole week. Her sons were 11 and 12, 13, something like that, and we paid them over and above, you know, what they were, you know, and they swept up hair and went to the store, and we made sure that their mom got that money. So, and she came back and said that was how we ate for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Because of what you've done. So that's community. So that's what barbers are. Barbers are, we're not just a guy that makes your haircut or your fade looks good. We're the guys in the community. We've had clothes drives. We had, we fed the homeless. You know, we've partnered with churches. You know, we've done a lot. We've done a lot. We've partnered with other people in different faiths for our community, you know. And that's one thing about the Barbershop.
Well, and now you partner with Hair Radio. So we are so proud to have you, Rick Borland. We are so proud to have you.
Thank you so much, man.
Well,
we're going to do great things.
Absolutely. Now, I want to first tell the folks a little bit about your shop. You are in New York. Please, again, remind everybody where you are and give us a little bit of a – we're going to give you a commercial. Tell us about your shop.
Well, here he is, Unisex, in Mount Vernon, 414 East 3rd Street. We are a hair studio. We prefer appointments. We specialize in all kinds of hair, but our specialty, of course, is urban hair. We do all kinds of cuts. We practice social distancing. You can't be in the shop right now without, proper, protection. But we're a different kind of barbershop. We're not the hood barbershop, you know, our barbershop, we play old
school music. We don't
want to
offend anybody with hood, the word hood.
No, we don't. We're not.
But we're not, but we're going to keep it real.
You have all the barbershops in the hood for that. We're a grown man barbershop. You know, we're the family barbershop. We're the barbershop where your uncle and your grandmother can come and we can be in conversation and we can be on hair radio and talk. And nobody's offended by, you know, the music that's playing or the things that's on
the
radio.
Sometimes. We've all been in those shops where the talk gets downright crazy. So do you control that to some degree there?
First of all, you know, I'm a man of faith, so and I believe that for you to be successful in business, you have to be successful. You have to appeal to more than one type of demographic,
uh-huh.
right? So, and I think that it doesn't matter with your, you know, what you do on your Sunday or your Saturday or whatever
right,
day.
Right.
You know, you might, you know, you choose to be. But everybody wants to have a conversation where we can talk freely, but we can't be offensive. So one thing we don't do is we try not to, not even try not to, there is no tolerance. Thank you. There is no tolerance for profanity. We don't do profanity. We don't do illicit type of conversations. We can talk, but it's how we talk. So we do conversations where sometimes it gets really intense in here. And we let people be free, but it's respectful because we have all kind of people here. So this is not your average barbershop. It's not for everybody, but it is for everybody, but it's for people that want to have a family. They want a family, or they want to have a grown man conversation, or they don't want to have to curve their behavior, you know, because somebody walked in. That's not how I, you know, the barbershop I grew up in, we all had real conversations, and you would talk to a CEO, you would talk to the bishop of a church, or you would talk to the guy that just got a record deal, and we can all sit here and talk and learn. So it's not the typical barbershop, but, you know, the haircuts are amazing, and, you know, that's what we do. That's the barbershop I like to be in.
Well, listen, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, with me on the line is a gentleman who's in New York. His name is Rick Borland. He is a barber instructor, of course, a barber shop owner, and so many other things. You're an educator. We are just loving this. What about the man weaves? Now, I heard you mention it earlier. I kind of wanted to ask about it. What can you tell us what a man weave is? And is this new for barbershops to have to be doing man weaves?
Yeah, listen. So for years, our sisters, you know, God bless them, have had the privilege and opportunity to, if they had hair challenges, that they had stuff sewn in or glued in. And for the most part, you know, they made them feel great or, you know, it gave them a chance for their hair to grow, whatever. And so what is our options for the brother that's going bald, you know, that doesn't want to be bald? Like, you're going light, you're getting thin, you start getting your late 30s, 40s, whatever it is, even 20s, 50s, and you're like, you know what? The middle of my hair is thinning or my front line hairline is going, and I still want to still have hair. What do we do? So, you know, we've seen through some inventions that there is the man weave where, you know, it's a piece that's glued onto your hair, and it's, you know, your size is still there, and they fade it in, and it makes it look like you still have that hair you had when you was in high school and college, and few people know.
Let me see if I can paint this picture. So it's kind of like somebody's kind of getting that donut look, you know, where the whole
George Jefferson.
You know, I remember that. Sherman Hemsley, I sat next to him at the Arsenio Hall Show way back in the old days, and I remember very, very well. We're both from Philadelphia, so we have a very close ties to George Jefferson. Yeah, but everybody calls it the George Jefferson. Like, I just realized that. That's funny to me. Everybody knows it as the George Jefferson, but yes. That would that be a good candidate? Would George himself have been a good candidate for the man weave?
Yeah, sure it is. But I mean, just imagine. So George Jefferson is probably in his 40s and 50s as a character, right? But imagine that you're 20, you know, or you're 30, you're a young 40, and you still want to, you know, you're still out on the market. You don't want to be the bald guy. You know, that's what the man weave is all about. It's about putting hair back and still feeling, you know, like, you know, I mean, listen,
like
it's
relevant.
It's relevant,
relevant,
you know?
Yeah.
Right, sure.
Well, I'm loving it.
So
if you're going to talk about this and mention George Jefferson, I have to shout out Mr. Eric Monte. Eric Monte is a friend to the Hair Radio Morning Show. He was on our show. He created the character of George Jefferson. So I'm real excited. When I came back to radio, he was on our show and welcomed me back with this Hair Radio Morning Show. So he wrote Coolie High, What's Happening Now, What's Happening,
great.
All those wonderful shows, along with the gentleman from CBS. So real good stuff. So I've got to say, listen, Rick, we're about to really get this thing going. Now, you being with us here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, it's a big step for us. What can you tell the listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show that you looked at, what you look to bring to the broadcast about barbering each week?
All right, so I've been around barbering well over 30 years, all right? So I've done everybody from Puff Daddy to Trey Songz to Usher to Malcolm Jamal Warner to Casey and JoJo, I'll Be Sure, Heavy D, the Manhattans are my group that I still service, you know. So I've got clothes designers, I got some NBA players, famous televangelists. I've done a lot of hair, but the most important people that I would say they're all important, but the most important people in hair are the people that come to your shop every day, the people that sit in your chair, the people who don't need you to close the shop down. The regular guy is the most important person. And the reason I say that is because those are the people that make our community. The other people do too, but those are the regular people. When you look at what you make and what you earn and who you touch, you don't always touch a celebrity, but you touch the guy that delivers the mail, that has a morning show, that that's on the radio, that that is a teacher, you know,
you
that's
go.
A doctor, you know, that's the guy that's around the corner. You know, those are the guys that are the most important people, you know, in our community. So I'm a person that, you know, I try to touch all hands and I try to be that person that is everything to everyone that I can be. But I want the people to know that, listen, without them, without your listeners and without our customers, our everyday people, we would cease to exist.
Exactly.
So
that's right.
That's one of the most important things I want to do. I want to bring the community back to the community, if that makes sense. I want to bring this barbering thing is all about community.
Absolutely.
So I'm trying to be that guy. I'm trying to be that guy that's...
You are that guy. Let me just be the first to tell you. And what I want to make sure that folks know how to reach you. I know on Instagram, I believe your Hair He Is on Instagram.
And yeah, Hair He Is on Instagram.
Yes. And that's really awesome, and I really appreciate that. And then also, they can always connect to you through the Hair Radio Morning Show. We have our own Salon TV Network app. And if you download the Salon TV Network app, it's in the Google Play Store. We're so excited because there is actually a little form there that says Ask a Barber. So if you have any questions that you want to get asked, that you want to get the answer to about barbering, you'll be able to connect with Rick, his amazing show right here on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, we're going to say, and we'll get it answered for you. So, Rick, I just want to say thank you and welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thanks for having me, Carrie. It's an honor and a privilege, man. You can have any barber in the world, but you chose me. So I am glad to be here. I'm glad to be connected to your listeners. Very awesome, and you're doing a great work. I'm just
awesome.
Glad to be a part.
Awesome. Well, listen, I want to say thank you. And remember, folks, we're going to be bringing some of the latest in barbering. And, I mean, I have – it's like an entire world that we're – kind of introducing our listeners to these days with in the way of barbering. There's all kinds of equipment, and there's so many discussions that we're going to get into. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So please, folks, definitely tune in. We'll keep you informed when Rick's show is going to actually air. So, Rick Borland, I want to thank you again from Mount Vernon, New York. Thank you for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Thank you so much. Thank you. It was great talking to you.
All right. Well, folks, keep it right here. We're going to have a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Every choice and step I make, every word and breath I take, you're the reason my world keeps turning. Like the blood running through my veins, sunshine when there's only rain, you're the reason my heart keeps hurting. Thank you.
Back live, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Yes, and thank you, Diana Ross. That's her newest song called Thank You, airing right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Listen, it's our 578th broadcast today. It's Wednesday, June 23rd of 2021, and it's really great to have you guys with us. We really have been having a great time today on the broadcast, and I have to bring to the line, if it's Wednesday morning and it's 8:30 Eastern time, we are talking about none other than Smooth Black, Mr. Troy Ballard, who comes to us live from Southern California. Smooth Black, good morning, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. Welcome back to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Thank you for having me back, you know.
Yes. Well, it is my honor. And I had to, I felt the thank you, Diana vibe going on. I love the song because it's so inspirational. And it, you know, reminded me of Mr. Troy Black just saying thank you. You always joining us each week. Well, really. And celebrating. So this is something really good. Now, I have to start. Well, first of all, how have you been? It's been a little couple weeks. I think we have we had some special preemptions and things going on. So how have you been doing out there in Cali?
Well, you know, this southern, sunny California weather. It's beautiful. It's been hot lately, but other than that, I'm doing as well, you know. Business booming, people coming and getting their hair done. Everything's opening up, you know. God is good.
Yes, this is correct. And so that's kind of, same kind of here in New York. So we're doing a bi-coastal thing as we do Wednesday mornings, 8:30 with Smooth Black of Smooth Black Inc. Got to make sure and get that in. Troy Ballard, I do want to start with what's kind of going on and all that wonderful good thing. But, you know, usually you bring us some great inspirational words to kick off each broadcast. And so today, without exception, we're asking the same thing. Give us some of your inspirational words of encouragement this morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. You know, God is good, and give him the glory, the honor, and all the praise. You know, he woke me up this morning. He starts me on my way. So, you know, with the reasonable portion of my health and strength. So we have a lot to be grateful for, you know, just to open up our eyes and see a brand new morning. It's a wonderful feeling just to know that I'm in the land of the living and yeah, God is yet in control. So I just encourage everybody to put a smile on your face and make this a better day than it was yesterday. Even though yesterday was an awesome day, today it's going to be an even awesomer day, if that's a word.
Yes. I'm loving it. You know, these words, we really kind of need your words of encouragement each morning. We're going to wake you up out there in California. real good
get up.
Stuff. So get on up, right. That's how we have to do it. Well, listen, we come to Troy because you are a legendary hairstylist. You have years of experience, which we need to kind of remind some of the folks. A lot of folks know who you are just from, you know, following your career. Others who are our fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show have been hearing you, you know, over our broadcast on Wednesday morning. What's one of the things you want them to know? We're going to take a start here this morning. What's one of the things you want them to know about your services, Smooth Black? What can you tell everybody? Maybe something that they don't know already.
Well, you know, over the years, I began to brand my name, you know, brand Smooth Black. Word of mouth travels faster than any other form of communication as far as your advertising, you know, because the mom would tell the sister tell the daughter gonna tell somebody, a friend. So that can spread like fire. But as I'm approaching 30 years, Gary, 30 years, Gary.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Oh, my God, yeah. I could have retired from the military and other things, but I thank God that I can do this for another 20 years, Carrie, God willing. But
wow.
Not because I have to, just because I love what I do, Carrie.
Wow.
If I encourage anybody today, education has been the key to my success. You know, I haven't worked another job other than doing hair Carrie. I haven't seen a W-2, say, since 1992. God
oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a
nothing but hair.
Wow. Nothing but hair. Wow. You know what we've got to do, which is going to happen, I'm sure, at some point, which is to really, we're going to really get this on out with your story. And this is a part of the things that we've been hired to do here at Hair Radio. So I just want to put that on out there on record. And we are going to see all this stuff on through. Now, I've got to ask you, because, you know, when you said 30, I said to myself, I'm wondering, so the clients, do you have folks that literally have stayed with you for 5 years or things like that? Like, how, I mean, how does that feel? Wow.
Oh, it's awesome because, you know, I have people, because my first salon was called Another Ballard Creation. And I chose
ABC.
That. ABC.
ABC. Oh, yeah.
And, you know. And they used to say, if you haven't been through ABC, you know, you really ain't had a hair experience.
Wow.
But we set a precedence, you know, when we opened that salon. And, you know, God bless ever since then. But I have clients that have yet been with me for 25 years and plus. So,
I'm a 25 years a client. Is there, I mean, I'm just dumbfounded. Like, I can't imagine going to somebody for 25 years, but, you know, I guess I can, because I guess it's like the listeners to our broadcast. They've been hanging on in there. We've only been around for 25. So
wow.
You got to beat a few years, yeah. But that's a good start, right? Now, listen,
yes,
I want to tell everybody, and also we've got to kind of bring you up to speed on what's happening, Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard, if you guys are just tuning in. We have been talking here on the Hair Radio Morning Show about the Road to Healthy Hair Workshop, which is a huge event that we're having at the Showboat Hotel. I need to make this clear to everybody. It's this year. We're talking about 2021, because sometimes we have, you know, older pieces and things that we've run on the network, so folks may think this is from way back when or something, but no, we're talking about August 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, which is approximately like a couple months right from this very day. We'll be in Atlantic City, New Jersey, right at the shore. It's at the famous Showboat Hotel, which is a legendary hotel right at the water. So what's interesting about this particular event is that we are... we've been at the Showboat. This is my fourth outing with these events and at the Showboat. And the difference is, normally we're upstairs ensconced in, you know, one of the floors or what have you. But this event, we are going to be outside for the most part. So you guys have a wonderful option where we have two locations outside, and we still have space for workshops, small, tiny, measured workshops or speakers lined up for on the inside. So we still have that. And we're going to try to get some space on the outside to do some things. But it is the beach, and I have to remind everybody, it's not a caution, but I had to, because some folks... Troy, I was on yesterday talking with some people about the event, and I said, well, it's Atlantic City, but yes, there is sand, and there is wind. We're outside, folks, so please, I got to make sure the vendors are aware and the people are aware. This is the beach, so it's literally the beach. We're on the actual boardwalk where people walk up and down, and we're also alongside the building. And we're inside the building on the first floor by the elevators. So it's a lot going on. And we will see you guys there. Again, now, for complete details, we have a website that's totally set up and devoted to this whole, all the information. And that's at hairnationexpo.biz. It's a Hair Nation event. It's called the Road to Healthy Hair Workshop, but it's a Hair Nation Expo event. So... Troy Ballard, we got to see you there. I can't wait to see everybody. It's going to be exciting. And all my friends, all of our wonderful clients, our contacts, and folks who have been on the show that you've gotten to know,
will be there. It's going to be a very special event. I'm very, very excited. And folks are ready to get out. How about you? Aren't you ready to get on an airplane and go somewhere, Troy Ballard?
Man, Gary, it's been a long time since I took a flight. So, yeah, it's all of us. And the way these people act the food on these planes lately, we're in a fight now. That's crazy.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this, and I know our listeners are going to kill me because we have to get the hair talk. But I have to say, it's that people, I believe a lot of this is because we've been indoors for so long. And I think people are excited. So all that adrenaline is kind of going. And, you know, being on an airplane, and I'm a former flight attendant, so believe me, I know. It is not, this is something that once folks, you put them in that little, you know, we used to call it like a little can, of, you know, tuna can or what have you, you'd be surprised, So listen, again, we're chatting this morning, just a quick casual conversation with the one and only Troy Ballard and a Smooth Black Ink, Smooth Black, a.k.a. TB. Listen, I want to kind of turn to some of the kind of questions that I've been seeing and hearing right here on the Hit Radio Morning Show. And then I've got some big news for you that we're going to share a little later in this episode, okay? So we're going to talk a little bit more about what I have to share with you. But first, turning to, you know, summer looks, color for the summer, what can you tell us, the king of color? I'm going to give you that moniker this morning. What can you tell us about coloring for the summer?
Wow, color. You know, it's about presentation. And it's another marketing tool for cosmetologists to make extra money with color on top of the service. So obviously you need a color enhancement. But, man, pre-lightening that hair to be able to deposit a red, a blue, a violet, or orange is really happening right now for me. I've got a lot of women that are wearing taper fades and getting the natural look, but taking that natural look even further by, you know, just, you know, making that color pop, make it stand out, you know. There's so many companies out here that have a lot of vibrant colors, but it's just learning how to do the proper application, how to properly lift that hair if you're going to bleach, how to tone that hair correctly to pull out the brassy tones into the hair. You know, it's so much into it that it's just a great time right now because we're in the season that's hot. And, you know, you're going to see a lot of women that got that long hair. They're going to be like, I want to cut off Troy and I'm ready, you know. So, but education is the key and continue to yearn and to learn more. That way you can earn more, you know, and client retention, you know, not just servicing somebody one time, but I want to service her for a lifetime. So everything is going to start from the consultation to, you know, getting to know your customer and what their needs are, what kind of lifestyle they have, and, you know, will this look really compliment them? And when it compliments them, make them look good, it make me look good. So, and my job is to make my clients look their best, you know. So right
now,
but
that's not easy to do. That comes with experience. You know, you have to, you know, it's easy for me to say because I'm sitting on this side, but I don't think that's easy to just, you know, to you are able to do this because you have so much experience. But this is not something for the average stylist. It's not going to just be able to sit down and do this. So, you know what I mean? So what kind of steps do you tell them? How can they do how do they really apply themselves so that they can also become great?
Well, also, when, you know, when I teach students, I let them know that, you know, this is not a game. It's not a hobby. We actually have a career, and you can build a portfolio out of this, you know, just being a cosmetological entrepreneur. Our license is so precious. It's so valuable to us, and those tools that say I can go anywhere and I can make money at any time. Great stylists, we should be what they say, recession proof, because people are always going to be in need of our services. So, and then you got to remember that we're in the business and we touch people every day. So, but when I was starting off, Carrie, I used to take the magazine, what was, you know, trending right now, and just say my client, she sold me a style and she wanted it. My response to them now is like, if you want that particular look, I think you need to go sit in that person's chair who did it. but what I can do is give you my version of that. You know, it's all about communication, you know, so because in the end, it's going to be my creative juices, my creativity that's going to give you that look. Now, how I go about achieving the look, now, if you have to tell me how, then, you know, I really, you don't need me. Because if you, you know, when my clients sit down, I had to get them comfortable with me that they learn how to trust me. And once they trust you as a stylist, you can pretty much get away with anything. And, you know, besides tearing that hair up. Because I tell them, if I mess it up, I'm going to fix it. I'm not going to charge you. I've made a lot of discoveries. I never made any mistakes, you know, as you shouldn't, because I discovered when I crossed that sodium hydroxide with that aniline derivative and the hair fell out. And I was like, wow. And I was going through a high-lift blonde, and that really scared me. From doing color, but then I had to learn timing, conditioning, the when, the why, and the how to do a service that's going to keep the hair healthy, give them that look that they desire, and, you know, a great cut is going to take you far in this game. So when they sat in the chair, I would take the magazine and I put the magazine, and what I actually did was try to mimic. You know, one, I had to understand what type of cut, whether, you know, short pixie cut or is it a short bob or it, what? How is it layered? Is it increased layering? You know, so many facets in the achieving a style. So, like I say, it's all in the cut. If it's cut right, it's going to lay right. But what I had to do was look in that magazine and I tried to put it on that, take that magazine and put it on there, you know, work with my hands and sculpt that hair so it looked like they look in the magazine. Until I got confident enough to where now I don't, you know, what I do now need to go in a magazine, you know, it's a difference now. They trust me enough. They allow me to be creative. I can spike. I can color. I can, you know, do stuff. Because everyone that sits out and get out of my chair is like a conversation piece. And if you're not getting a compliment, I didn't do my job, you know, so.
I'm going to tell you, you just, as you were saying that, I'm thinking, I remember going to the, and this is how I relate to this, I remember going to the barber years ago, and a couple things I told him. I said, listen, I said, I always ask for the same hairstyle, but the day you notice that I'm the only one getting this hairstyle, please let me know that. So, you know, and I told him, I said, yeah, can you also just please, you know, just do your own thing. I would sit in a chair and on other times I would ask just whatever you see that you think would make me look good, just do it. Don't ask me because, you know, I'm so out of, I don't know. I think, and let me tell you something, and I really mean this with everything to say. Every time I told him to just do it, whatever he saw, my hair looked amazing. I looked like a different person every single time that I said, just what you see. But I don't know if people realize that because it's a different, I don't know how to say it correctly, but, you know, I just think I gained so much by trusting him.
You know, a lot of women, they still, you know, for me, I once they're in my chair and we develop a dialogue, I want them to know that your hair no longer belongs to you. It belongs to me.
Oh.
Because
what
now
do they say when
job,
you say that? What do they say when you say that?
My job is to make you look good, to get your hair in a healthy state, you know, where it's going to be, you know, manageable for you. And, you know, it's going to look good, too. And your hair is going to grow, whatever, if you want it to grow, or if you like it short, whatever it is, I'm going to take care of it. You know, I'm your hair doctor now. I'm taking care of all your hair care needs because I need you to come pay me at least 2 times a month. Or like a lot of my clients, they come weekly. They don't touch their hair.
Weekly?
The ones that come bi-weekly. Yes, sir. Yeah, those are the ones that are professional and working in positions where they're in the public eye all the time. So, you know, it's just like going on set, a movie, but, you know, every take, somebody's going and touching up that hair. But, you know, you give them a style that they can maintain throughout the week. Even when they're working out, their lifestyle, try to teach them and educate them. You know, if you're working out and you got long hair, wrap that hair up real tight. And when you perspire, don't take that wrap off until your body's temperature is back down to normal. Keep it wrapped really tight. When you, you know, come down and comb that hair out, it should fall back in the form that it was. If any time you perspire, it's going to have some sort of reversion, you know, from natural hair. Or even chemically straighten hair. But it's just, you know, education is, you know, and teaching your clients, you know, how to upkeep that hair. Because my thing is, in between services, I want to make sure that my client is, you know, her hair needs to still be taken care of. Because, you know, when I talk about weekly customers, man, that's the best customers I have. Because I already know in my book, it's already set. When I go in next week, I already know on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, to where now over the years, I see my Tuesday's book, my Wednesday's book, my Thursday's book, my Friday's book. And when my client gets out of my chair, I hand them the book. Therefore, they can rebook their next appointment.
Oh, before they even get up out the chair?
because you know, you snooze, you lose. You know, now I have my clients situated that they have their slot. This time has been allocated for you every Saturday. Every Saturday, the same women come in, give me the, you know, take care of me. But I'm taking care of their needs also. So that's about not just, you know, I'm not a Fantastic Sam Supercuts or a Master Cuts, what we have on the West Coast. I'm just Troy Ballard, smooth black. I do hair very well. Come see me. Here's my business card. You bring me three, I do your hair for free. I got a lot of things that I do to promote myself in order to, you know, to keep it. When I go to work, I go to work. It's no time to play. It's like I get in at 7:30. I'm gonna stand behind that chair. May take a lunch, but by 4 o'clock, I'm done, and I may service 8 or 9 people.
Wow, I'm blown away. And listen, folks, let me just make sure this is clear out there. We're talking to Smooth Black, aka Troy Ballard, out in sunny Southern California. Troy, just remind everybody, so this is something they can, you know, even though you do have a lot of clients, you are always welcoming some new clients, and you put them through the consultation, as you mentioned. It's all about customer service and what they're going to look like once you're done. So, you know, listen, please reach out. Please, he is available. And also, connect with us here at Hair Radio. We'll certainly put you in touch with Smooth Black. We are so excited. So listen, I am so grateful to have you here to talk about some summer looks and all of that. I was also mentioning or thinking about this. You talked about coloring earlier. And I was thinking, you know, because right now it seems to me that everybody's wearing blues and yellows and greens and reds as hair colors. This is a little different than the past. I mean, you know, going blonde was a big thing, you know. So what do you say about that, Smooth Black? And then I've got some news for you. But what do you say about the colors, the rainbow colors that seem to have taken over? Was that a big thing to get used to?
I mean, you know, people, I tell them, stay in their lane unless you're educated enough to do color professionally. But everything is going to come by trial and error. So a lot of times, you know, you can't be scared. You got to have faith and you got to go for it. But coloring is definitely a form of extra income. And if you're a great colorist, man, I mean, when you get into color weaving, you get into top dollar for your service. You know, because, Carrie, after 30 years, you know, I believe that I'm different from the stylist who just graduated and has only been in the business 4 or 5 years. There's definitely a difference in the pricing of the servicing.
But
still, my service that you're going to receive is going to reflect the price. And, you know, to me, I always tell them, you really can't afford me, because what I'm doing is I do it with love, and I really, you know, take time to give you that look, you know. And every person that sits in my chair, they have their own signature look, you know. Someone said they got the same haircut, but that one haircut, you can style it 100 different ways. So That's why I'm able to do so many short haircuts and make it pop, you know, different colors, you know, coloring techniques, color weaving, especially with the blondes that's in right now, but you can make them blends, you know, doing the balayage, like painting. It's just a wonderful thing, you know, and then create a look just for your client, that signature that nobody else has, you know, that makes her stand out in the crowd. They'd be like, wait a minute, everybody looking, but that one right there, you know, and then most people say, oh, Troy did that, smooth black.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, listen, let me just tell you, we are super, super hyped to hear this. So this is what we'd love to hear on the Hair Radio Morning Show on Wednesday mornings at 8:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Central. Now, I have to actually spread some news that you might be able to use as well, Smooth Black, this morning. First, let me just announce that we now have an official 24-hour network. Okay. So this means that folks can listen to Hair and Beauty Talk, our music, everything that we're doing, Smooth Blacks, past shows, and all of that over at HAIRadio.com. So our website, our official website, is HairRadio.com, in which 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we are nonstop all the time. We're actually on right now. So over there at HAIRadio.com. So listen, I just wanted you to be the first to know that right here on our Blog Talk Radio show this morning. So yes, thank you. Well, this is big news for you, for all of us. So we will be setting up a schedule, the regular schedule, in addition to Wednesdays at 8:30 in the morning on Blog Talk. Smooth Black is going to move over as well to our regular scheduled time and different days and airing the broadcast on HAIRadio.com along with all the luminaries. Finding your spot right there would be, you know, it's going to be awesome. So listen, on that note, yes, it's great news and we are excited. We can't do this without you. It's HairRadio.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's our own broadcast network for the hair and beauty world, the very first ever, which I had originally done back in 2002, 2003. So we just decided to bring it back. We were 20 years ahead of our schedule. So we are just revisiting, and it seems like it's perfect timing. So speaking of timing, yeah, Smooth Black, you got to give us some good words to carry us through. Remember I told you we need these words to last a week. What words of encouragement can you leave us with this morning, Mr. Troy Ballard?
Well, I can tell everybody, look here, all things are possible if you only believe. You know, I believe God, and I believe that if I ask anything in his name that he hears me. And as my relationship grows with my father and we learn to relate to one another in life, we encourage each other. We lift up one another, you know, and when you get to the point where you can esteem others higher than yourself, learn to be more humble. And, you know, if you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, he says that he will exalt you. And there's nothing better than knowing that I'm a child of God and I love people and I pray for people. And I believe that, you know, the nation, this world, the crisis that we're going, we can, you know, we learn just to, you know, love one another and treat one another like you want to be treated. And life will be a much better place. So, Carrie, I thank you. Pray for their radio station. Continued success, and you know, what all my mother said, we do our best, God does the rest. So,
I
God
love
bless
it.
You,
well, on that note, I also I'm gonna invite you back to be on a new broadcast that we have because you're also a veteran, and I want you to share some of that experience with. We have a new audience for the veteran show that we'll be talking about in weeks to come, and I think you'd be a perfect guest with that as well. All right, Smooth Black, thanks again. I look forward to speaking with you following the show, and we'll talk on the air next Wednesday morning at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. Make it a great week, Troy. Thank you, Troy Ballard.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Back at you. All right, folks. Keep it – well, we're closing out today's show. I'm going to say keep it right here. No, today, this is it. We'll see you back here tomorrow. I'm going to go ahead and start the outro. Make it a good day, folks. It's that time again to bring this edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close.
But it doesn't have to end here. Visit our website at hairradio.com and find out more about today's program's guests. Now, I want to thank our amazing on-air team and fan contributors, and especially our great sponsors, which include FixYourFeet.com, Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, Prestige Book by Mr. Jarrell Glass. Now, don't forget to come meet all of us in person at our live hair and beauty show. It's a HairNationExpo.biz event called The Road to Healthy Hair. It's being held at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey on Saturday, August 21st, 2021, Sunday, August 22nd, 2021, and Monday, August 23rd, 2021. That's three big days. Now, the hours are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at eventbrite.com. The event is for everyone. You don't have to be a hair or beauty professional to come to our show. Let us know if you'd like to be a vendor. Call us. Call our office at 862-277-0686. And again, that number is 862-277-0686. Now, if you're interested in being a guest or advertising on the Hair Radio Morning Show, give us a call. And for those of you who are just starting your career as an entrepreneur, you want to pick up your very own copy of How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. It's by me, Carrie Hines, and is on sale at Amazon.com. Start your new career as a Caribbean hair products distributor, where you'll make money and meet interesting folks selling our hair care system. Caribbean shampoo, Caribbean conditioner for the fellas, is Caribbean beard oil. It's my very own hair growth system that's infused with caffeine to stimulate the scalp. And don't forget to tune in to our very next live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Our program airs each weekday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 5 to 8 Central. And if you miss that live broadcast, we've got you covered. Go to blogtalkradio.com/hairradio. And again, Hair Radio is always spelled just one R in the middle. So again, go to blogtalkradio.com/hairradio anytime to stream the episode on demand. The Hair Radio Morning Show is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty in the world, 25 years and counting. Don't forget to follow us on our Facebook page at The Hair Radio Morning Show or at Twitter at Hair Radio and Instagram at Hines Carey. Again, thank you so much for joining us in today's broadcast. Enjoy the rest of your day. And remember, what was possible for you yesterday is still possible for you today. It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Hi, I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series talking about Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentary.